نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الوالي الكريم، وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين، والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين. أما بعد، are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it, and that He is alone and has no part, and that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universes. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend, and send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles, and on the Messiah, the anointed one, and on the Mahdi, the guide, and on the Mujaddid, the reformer, which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
They say it's coming to an individual, not to a people. The consciousness is not coming to an individual. It's not just coming through me or from Farrakhan. That's true. The consciousness is coming to you.
My name is Dr. Darren Christie. I've been a student of the Grand Master, Dr. Malachi Z. York, for 10 years. And in those 10 years, I've been exposed to nothing but undisputable truth, from the Nubian Islamic Hebrews, to the Ansar Allah community, to the Holy Tabernacle Ministry, to the ancient and mystical order of Malachi Zadok. I've been through all the schools of higher learning. And now, I'd like to introduce the man of our time, the Grand Master, Dr. Malachi Z. York.
He said that Allah was created in triple doctrine. Mm-hmm. Ain't nothing to worry about. That's better. He said, when you're outside at night, that's not darkness, that's the shadow. Literally, no worry about it. He said, that's an illusion, that's not real, that's the shadow. The real darkness is inside the room where people are conceived. You follow that? He said on that tape, if you're looking for a devil, stop looking outside there. You black people go look in a mirror, and then you see the devil. That's not a direct statement of black devil. There it is. I ain't finished. You get the tape from there. He also said on that tape, I mean at that lecture, he said that it's Muslims and Islam, and he said they might not want to be called Muhammadism, but they are Muhammadism. And he said Muslims, Christians, and Jews, give up those names. But that was divide and destroy us. He said, religion is destroying us. He said, the real religion of God is obedience. And that all of y'all are God. And then we did you say, is it not written in the law? I said, I am the law. So, in my view, or my point, of view, right? I don't see it as a negative thing. I'm quite impressed by it. And everything he talked about on that tape, up until when he gets to his wanting you to worship some kind of God, and I'll touch on that too. I'm fine with everything else. He got my back in 360 on it. As far as Reverend Chavez, or something, coming over, it was after money embezzlement and acts of female harassment charges in the Christian church. So it's not an impressive move. Right. If someone came over to me carrying that with them, I wouldn't put them on the podium that quick before I investigate the reality of it. So now that becoming, you know, joining the nation of Islam doesn't make them look good. If you would have did that with a clean track record, they mean a fire and brimstone preacher, they would have something, you know, to fall out. But he just came out of an unsettled case of female harassment as a minister and money lost, I think $230,000. If that was me, that'd be all over the place.
Right.
If I'm gonna say so, that would impress me the least. You know what I'm saying? Mainly about the lecture is don't buy the hype. That was all hype. All the screaming and the yelling was hype. Because if you shave away all the hype and all that synthetic support, you get right back down to, he said, nothing that I didn't say before him, that I didn't say, my people didn't say, your father, those who are didn't say, they had nothing new to say. And that's the test of the time. We're in a new day and time, so in a new day and time, have something new to say. I'm a bad condition with the same bad information. The information has got to upgrade itself in order for you to upgrade people. And Noble Duality as a prophet was had a point, it made sense, and it lifted them to a certain level. Noble Duality Muhammad had a point, it made sense that day and time, and it lifted them to a certain amount of level. You know what I'm saying? Stephen Clarence 37X, you got it now, 37X, he had it and it lifted them up. But now what? We'll still talk the same stuff? So, and it's obvious, because he's going to say that there's no racism, it ain't about people's color, it's about he's saying, how about it?
Right.
He even said, get away from that God thing. And when he started explaining God, and I like to comment if you go and get the tape, he didn't talk about Farad at all on Farad's birthday. Elijah Muhammad's son, Ishmael, Bainetta's son, he did a Farad thing. Other ministers did it when they got there one by one. But he did. He did not give Farad no props. Because I know he's smart enough, but he can't get around those books. He's going to have to answer questions and can't. And all the people sitting there had their book in the back of their mind. Not that everybody in there audience got it, but some of them said, I ain't need that garbage. But the ones who want the truth will sit there and they will listen with that, with those two books in their mind. And two more coming out. Create this type to put back on that garb that you saw me put on and say, and dress like me, Your mother had to wear an upright three-pointed thong weapon when a boy gave his arm to impose a represent a certain phase of the moon. And that's it, that phase of the moon is supposed to be what they refer to as the new moon. This way. And they were differentiating their presence and their star, like you said, that's my invitation is on, from that which Noble Suari brought out, which was there, and they just say, well, his representative here is old, his representative is steady, and our representative is new. But they didn't have, back then, a moon like this. They didn't have that. That is not in your book, the upright presence. I brought the upright presence into existence before nature burned into existence. Even saw an upright president until after 1970. In no book, not in your school book, nowhere have they ever saw that. Now, every month there's room for the new upright president. And going, this is now. And now is then. You understand why now is going about now is then? Now is then. But when you say then, it could be then behind you, then in forward, or then the moment. And that's the stuff of past, and it's the stuff that we have past here. Right? If I'm bad here, that's the day we have. So there's no reason for Minister Louis Farrakhan to wear an upright crescent that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad never wore. And then say you follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. If you follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, then you walk in his steps. And you do what he just does. And you dress the way he dressed. And you shave your mustache or shave it off or curl to be like him. If you follow him, but you see him like the so-called Sunnah as the best example. The Sunni Muslims, those who are wise, try to emulate Rasulullah Muhammad 1400 years ago to the letter. And they call that following his Sunnah or his way of doing things. But now how are you going to be a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and follower of my moon? But I was upright president. And on that green hat, my color, you had an 8-foot 20 star. You can see it just as clear as day because whoever was on the camera might have been one of our followers. But these moons were in right on his face. You can see where they put the 6 points on it, not five. That is not the symbol on your book. That is not the symbol on your opinion of lessons. That is not your national, not your flag, not your pendant. That is known as our symbol. And everybody knows. You know why they know it? Because they never saw what they refer to as a Jewish star and a Muslim crescent. They never saw it before. The high-ranking Freemasons saw it, and they were the folks who on the street now. You know what that means?
Right.
And you say, you? And walk on about your business, but they and no one else ever introduced a six-pointed star and upright crescent to Nubians until 1970 when I presented it to the world.
Right.
As a sign of the ever-living, the living, the true and living God. And they look in the book and they look and say, this is the symbol of the true and living. Now leave you God out. But I wasn't taking a position until the time was right. And when I say true and living God, I mean, like the brother said, you can walk up to your God and talk to him. You walk up to him and say, I got a question for you, God. They can't do it. They can't walk up to Farah, they can't walk up to Clarence, they can't walk up to none. You understand? And if I move on to the next life, then another God steps in place. No such thing like nobody coming after me because I'm so great, nobody can succeed me. That's not how it works with us. When one pharaoh steps down, another pharaoh comes in. That's all God means to pharaoh. But when we make the declaration that we're God, what upsets you, fool, is you keep on taking our definition all away from the hands of our community, I would tell y'all, stop judging my religion by your religion. Stop judging my interpretation by yours. You stop reading our book and think you know what we're talking about, fool, instead of just asking me. We say, God, we ain't talking about your God. Your God just did it. If I said it, win. I'm talking about when you look back at Sumer, when you see those deities on the wall, they were God. I didn't look back in Egypt to see the deity on the wall, they are God. That's the kind of God I am. That's the kind of God I'm looking at. That's the kind of God you all forgot your work. And that's what they want to make you think when they say that idol worship. And don't even define the word idol. What is an idol? The word they use in Arabic is mithala. Like, they don't even have a word for it. Mithala is the root of the word for idol. What is it? If you idolize somebody, then doggone it, Master Prophet Muhammad and Elijah Muhammad are idols because you all idolize them. You have big old picture on the wall, bigger than life. So if you've taken out of proportion of life, if you made it 1 inch larger than him, then you have now taken it and expanded God. So what's the problem? We don't have no problem with you calling all the night, Muhammad God. We know he's God.
Right.
We have a problem with you trying to make us worship a group. Something you cannot do. Or don't have, we don't have a problem respecting Clarence 37 or 13, whatever you want to call that. But we're not going to worship the dead. You don't worship the dead. You respect the dead. You honor the dead. And only those dead people that did something is entitled to respect and honor.
That's right.
Those that have it, they're buried with respect and honor, and everything about them is buried.
Yeah.
But those who have done something and made a mark have affected our lives, we respect them. We respect the mighty, alayhi salam. And always will.
That's right.
Our mighty. If y'all don't want to be your mighty, they need our mafia. We put them in our bag with the rest of our stuff. Y'all want some Zulama Asa, some Pakistani? That's your mafia. That's fine. Y'all want Master Brahma Muhammad call your mafia? That's your mafia. That's fine. Why we all can't have our own mafia? We all got our own shoes on. I put it the same size as yours. And as long as we don't stand toe to toe, you all ain't got no problem. And you obviously, y'all don't want to stand toe to toe with me on what mafia is like. But I wrote a whole book on how my mafia is a true mafia. I can see y'all. I had to write a book on yours, so you won't. You know what I'm saying? So that's the bottom line. Is that we are God. We're reflections of God. We're an image of God. We're the likeness of God. If that bothers you, then hey, you just have to live with your problems. Do things, come and go. Get it cured. Get the carry, gut out, get a shot, but do something. But don't interfere with me, nobody is legal. You can't explain to me or prove you got a toothache anyway. I know you got a toothache. By toothache, I mean, I know there's stress in what you're teaching, but I can see it in your eyes. I can see a lack of confidence while I watch that tape. I don't watch that tape to watch that mouth. I watch that tape to while that mouth is moving, that sound is coming out. I want to see if they really accept what they're saying. They know what they're saying. Anytime anybody starts talking about God, they don't know what they're saying because they cannot prove it. If I talk about a car, I can prove it. If I talk about this punk, I can prove it. If I talk about the compass and the square, the actual compass and the square, the actual punk, the actual car, I can prove it or take it to one. If I can't, I'll make one. Those are the principles of being confident and being in truth and being right.
Right.
But now when I start trying to convince you that you are wrong if you don't believe in some unseen God and give you a complex and try to make you feel guiltier because you're the kind of person that says, I don't mind you look good feeling that way, but I just have a man that wants to know. That may, I'm a different kind of being, you can call me the devil, you call me anything to make you feel comfortable because I want to know. I just want to know. Is there anything wrong with that now? You talk to me about Allah. Tell me about Allah. Can you explain this thing to me? Don't say God is creator. Get all that. And the worst thing you can do is run over to the Quran, a book written by mortals, if not written by mortals, recorded by mortals, stored in the subconscious or conscious mind of mortals and human beings who are all imperfect, like you said, a wobbling breath, a wobbling mind. Your brother ain't going to go to the Quran and say, listen, the Quran says, Allah said, of course. The Quran was written for people like you that want to use the word of Allah. That's what the Quran is going to back up Islam. You go to Jehovah's Witnesses, they do the same thing. They got a whole bunch of books that back up Jehovah's Witnesses' jump. What about the universal truth? The universal truth would be to strip the name of Allah and tell me the meaning of it. And your scholars can't even do that. El Ilah or El Lahu or they don't even know what it means. You asked for the other day, some 5%, I believe in Allah. What does Allah mean? He said, huh? The word, not, you know, not the attribute, the word itself, that being attributed to the being of force, the source, the
person or whatever ought to box a cookie. Whatever it is that you're going to love, what the word first means. They can't tell you. Put some of the law and say, what does the law mean? The God. What happens if the Germans never created the word God or good? Then what would you say to me? The Duke, the French, the Guillaume, the Spanish? What would you say, man, that we need all these other languages? Drop everybody else's language, brother, and tell me what Allah means. Now, what would happen is, if he could speak the Arabic language, he would start giving you a commentary of Allah in Arabic. That's the only way you can explain Allah. Because Allah is an Arabic word. You can't explain Allah in Arabic word in English. You would be translating. The bottom is you'd be moving away, trans. You'd be going away from it, trans, vocabulary, understand? You'd be going away from it because you cannot capture the actual meaning. The bottom? So now who's trying to pull me in and make you think that a person don't believe in God and they're a devil? The brothers don't believe in God, brothers don't believe in the devil either. Who says can't ask? They come together. Because you wouldn't even know there was a God unless there was a devil. But there'd be no purpose for your God if there was no devil. So y'all need the devil to banish all of your God. Because what would a religion be without the devil? What would be the purpose of Islam if there was no shaitan? What would be the purpose of Judaism if there was no hasatan? What would be the purpose of Christianity if there was no Zagron? If I don't believe the Muslims, do y'all need the devil? You better have the devil, because if you don't, you have to close your mouth and stop Mecca. Because the whole purpose of going to Mecca is to, I wouldn't be mad. I mean, I'll say, come on, brother. So shaitan in everything you say. In your salah, you're praying to shaitan. When you eat, you're praying to shaitan. I don't want shaitan to take my food. Not only men, we don't say God is a whip. Only God and the devil is a whip. That's a whip club. Now all these folks, they've been locked in one world ideology and think you got a monopoly on the whole world and a big problem. Meaning, Islam, Judaism, and Christianity is nothing but one ideology on the planet. You don't know nothing about the depth of Hinduism, Buddhism, and philosophies and a million other philosophies or doctrines or religions. It don't have nothing to do with your concept of belief. You only sound powerful because you're in a country that was owned and ruled and lived on by a group of people called Washita or Tulip from the ancient Almans, who did not believe in that God, and the Christian concept came over here with people who are Portuguese brought the Christian doctrine over here and spread it there, and then later on, Judaism came over here, and then later on, Islam came over here, but the indigenous people of this land, the natives of what they call Americans, didn't know nothing about your God, and got wreckage that the All Masters existing 900 years before Christ. Here, right on this land in America, 900 years before Christ, they're digging up heads right now in Mexico called Anastasia. And there they find traces of a people that look just like you before the year 570 when Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam was born. Before Jesus was born. You understand that? We got a life and a culture that goes back way before that. We were called Moors by race. Way before Moor was synonymous with Muslim. They were Moors before they were Muslim. They were called Morenos before Muhammad was even born. Right. Or Moors, the French way, before Muhammad was born. If I'm saying somewhere along the line, Islam bit its way into Moor. And now you got a bunch of people walking around saying, I'm a Moorish scientist, and raising their hand going, Islam. Don't realize that Islam is taking away from the greatness of being a Moor, because Islam was born in Arabia among Hindus and Turks calling themselves Arabs.
That's right.
And there was no Middle East. Look at the map again and then say Middle East. A short pause. Say, Now, don't say the word. I mean, think about Middle East. Where is that? You do it. Put a blackboard anywhere and do this, make a comment, and put Middle East there, right? How can there be a Middle East? And this is west, and this is east, and this is north, and this is south. How can this be the Middle East? Now, we know of a thing called the Far East. That's the Far East. This would be the Far West. This would be the Far North. And this would be as far south as you can go, as far west as you can go, as far east. But there's no such thing as a Middle East. Yeah. There's no such thing as an Arab with natural roots. You will not trace Arabs to natural roots. You'll trace the people back to a man called Jotan, which will go back to Hebrew. But you will not find Arab as a race. The word Arab means automobile. And the word that Arab means to roll about, to move.
You know what I'm saying?
They don't exist. There was no such thing as Saudi Arabia. That oil over there is ours. Our land extends from California to where? The Persian Gulf. There was no split. There was no red or green sea. That's a natural threat. The Atlantic Ocean did not exist. I showed all that back in the Norfolk. All those pieces fit right back in. Straight on down through South America. There's no such place as Puerto Rico. That just means that when they got there, he said, that's the richest port I've ever seen. So how now are you going to say that Puerto Ricans are poor people, and Puerto Ricans are minorities, and Puerto Ricans don't have nothing? And when you say Puerto Rican, you're saying they're rich. Sam Amorite says, you Puerto Rican. He's saying, you people from that rich port.
That's right, that's right.
You say, what happened to the riches? What happened to the people of the port? I say what happened to them. They took it. Fake Puerto Rican. Vanguard, Parkin, took it. Took the image of the Lord. Because we had more in Morocco, more than Spain, more than France, more than all across Europe. More was what they called you by race. That ain't going to be a Nubian. Had nothing to do with a Muslim or Hebrew. More described your race. More than black. People from that black soil. Quran says it. Man was created from the dust of the ground. So every time they try to change the meaning of Nubian, and they were Aswan from the word Aswan, black. It's not even to do with the people there. It has to do with the soil of that place. Well, fine, because the people in that place, who walked in that place 5.1 billion years ago, walked alongside of dinosaurs in that place and left their footprint in that soil. And if your doctrine means the Torah and the Quran and the New Testament is right, that man was shaped from the dust of the ground, then it was the black dirt of a swan, and snake was still the man anyway, so it still covered the man. You are more. The Mormon Science Temple is relating to it from an Islamic standpoint of view, from a Moroccan standpoint of view. Bring out a Moroccan flag, not a Moorish flag. You with me? The Moroccan flag is red with a green star of Solomon, the sacred seal of Solomon, came into Morocco by way of France. That's where the word Moor, M-O-O-R, comes from. That's the French way, Moor. You don't know what they were called in their language. Because if I walk up to you and you're from the Mormon Science Temple of America, whatever nicknames you didn't add on or change into what you know for all this, and ask you to speak the language you spoke when you was a Almack, or speak the language you spoke when you was a Wachita, or speak the language you spoke as a Tunis, you can't. And Arabic is not that old. Arabic goes back again into biblical languages. Arabic again goes back into Genesis 10. And we know that that is two verses away, or two chapters away, from the Emirate East. Genesis 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Give you the Emmaus, and then the what they call the most eloquent writing, the Gilgamesh epic, which covers the Noah's flood, which is from the victim. And then you got it on 7, 8, 9, 10. And then you start talking about Hebrew, Arabic, Aramaic, Akkadian. And then you got to get to 11. You start talking about Chaldean. And not one book mentioned Arabic. But Arabic is a dialect of Assyrian. You know? But you ought to get that back too. A form that has a Jewish star on there. The 6-pointed star ain't no Jewish star. Someone lied to y'all. And you lied to yourself. Because you told me that David was a Muslim. You said Dawood in the Quran was a Muslim. So now Dawood is a Muslim when you saw a brother from Ansar al-Allah with a 6-pointed star and crescent on his hat. And that star is known as what? Morgan? The star of David. And why would you tell an Ansar? Why are you wearing a Jewish star? That was a confession that David was not a Muslim. Plus, nowhere in the books of the Old Testament does David ever refer to himself as a Muslim. Now you say, well, Abraham named you Muslim. That's Quranic again. That came up between the year 610 and 631 was Muhammad died in 632. You cannot go to a new book and tell me about old things unless you tell me this book is an old book being retranslated. But you're not saying that about the Quran. You're saying it's a final revelation. Something revealed for the first time. When 99% of it is obviously not the first time here. Everything from prayer, walking, talking, eating, sacrificing, circumcision, and everything else was taken out the Torah. But because you claim that it wasn't, and if this was a revelation to Muhammad from cover to cover, and you put yourself in a bad way. But you gotta then show me, not in the Quran, show me in the Tanakh, in the Torah, where Abraham calls himself a Muslim. Show me in the Torah, where Moses calls himself a Muslim. And you say, well, Shalom is the same as Salam, then why did y'all create Salam if Shalom already existed? Shalom, that was good enough. And I'll talk to anybody about that one session. But then you know this. What does Assalamu alaikum mean? What does it mean? The word alay means what? On. Alaykum means on you all. Alay is not through you. It's not in you. It's on you the way that a bush or that tahiyya or that imma is on your head. This ain't close. But it's simple. But it was tricky. Some demon got it in this again. Understand?
Yeah.
If I say to you, Salam, peace, alaykum, I'm saying peace on you. I'm not wishing you peace. I'm not sending peace through you. The peace does not feed the gut in your heart. The gift is not in your body. The rock is not in your head. It's on the body. So when Muslims greet each other, it's a subtle trick. That's why I got Shalom out of it. But I'll go back in. Because I tell you, Assalamu alaikum. The peace be all on you. You don't need peace on you. You need to be in a peaceful state. Wa alaikum salam. And on you peace. Or ma'salam. With you peace. With, like, with ma' in Arabic. It's not with, like, in your character. That's anger. That's with, like, you're coming to you somewhere. That peace walk beside you. Maybe that's why so many of y'all get hit by a car. Because you get hit and the peace gets away. From the renewal. That's right. We have not heard that in 1400 years. How come nobody in all Islam has ever said, you know,
assalamu alaikum does not really mean anything. To help you, just may peace be on you, on top of you. Like I put a glass on a mother pizza table. I put a book on a desk out of my desk. Is that real? And I put the print on the book, it would only be on the cover. So you could, if you say, and I love the Quran, the truth is on the Quran, you would not be saying the Quran has any truth. Alright, now if you read Surah Al-Baqarah again, the first couple of verses, you're going to see that Allah, 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 Allah will be in. A few on their heart, but they translated it in. Deception, hype. Everybody knew we were coming.
Right.
Nobody knew it. Everybody knew this day and time was coming. They were calculating and we were calculating. And we're the best calculating. Because we have worked it out. Because, but that is not no Moorish flag. That is a Moroccan flag. Unless the Moors you're talking about are Moors that fall under the government of Morocco after the 17th century when that flag got there. And when Dus Ali, was teaching Nuru Ali, Dus Ali was not using a Moroccan flag. Because also Marcus Moses Garvey was also taught by Dus Ali. And Marcus Moses Garvey introduced a red, black, and green, which was originally black, red, and green. The flag as found in the Sudan, the flag of the Mahdiya, with a spear and a crescent. That was the flag, black, red, and green. And all of your revolutionists throughout America, by whatever group or sect, are popping up the Mahdi flag. And don't even know. They got all these black money, all these red, black, and green flags, all of this snapped off. The spear and crescent would symbolize the warriors of the Hadith Dawa tribe that came down from the north to defend Sudan from Lower Egypt, actually, because the Mahdi was from the Hadith Dawa. Of the novel, a place. That was a place. The home called Dunglawe, that's a name after place. A home called Nubian, a name after place. But what am I by race? More. What is my nationality? More. Now, if you want to be anything, you want to be Afro-American, be a Moorish American, he said that that far, right? But they got to separate that dog on Islam from it. Because we go back before Islam. All the pharaohs were Moors. And if you go to Europe and you read in any of their books in Latin, you follow? Don't let them, we got to stop letting them call Moorish brothers Latinos who's not speaking Latin. We got to get away from that too. Got another one in Roman trip. Like Negra and Negro, which I showed y'all in the Bible. The Greeks were calling us Negroes. If all that, the Romans were calling us Moreno. Jesus was called Moreno. You know that in most Latino families? Because the mind has been a mess with the parents would tell them, don't be no lazy Moreno.
That's right, I'm your telling.
Same with Jim and your mother saying, don't hang out them low like niggas. The same principle. But somewhere on the line they made more synonymous with low life. But we got to make it say that. But we got to make it clear to the modern science level, we are your brothers, but only as far as the truth.
In the Upanishads even, amongst the people of sin, the Hindus, they even spoke about their being, the Nephilim, the wicked ones, that came through. Came through where? Came through where? Everybody's looking up. Everybody's talking about the forces or the elders that came from up down here. Right? But they taught you and I to worship a word and to look down. and cut us off from the power of the Elohim, which links us to El, who is Allah. You say Allah and El is the same thing. Allah, la ilaha illallah, El, la ilaha illallah, Allah, Allah. What then? You take an Arab, say Arab, break down the word Allah. He says El illa. El illa, the God. But when you say God with dyslexia, you come up with dog, and dog is Anubis. You see that? The jackal dog of ancient Egypt. Symbolically of them marrying in. When the Hyksos dynasty got into Egypt, the light-skinned Egyptians, it was from mixing in with us. You follow that? We were the jackal god to them. And whenever they portrayed a jackal god in ancient Egypt, it's a black dog. Don't believe me. Look it up. Ain't no more time for beliefs. Belief means B-E what?
Lie.
It's a lie to Eve's children. And that's exactly what he said he was going to do in Genesis 3. He's going to put this hate and envy between who? And who? No, come on, say it like you believe it. That's right. Did he say between Adam's seed?
No.
So who is the superior in the eyes, the male or the female amongst us? Oh, wait, back up, you know. You don't want to hear that. But that's not what the scripture says. The scripture teaches us that we are the woman's seed. Not that she is our seed. And the war is going to be between the woman and the serpent. And her seed, which is you and me. That's why in ancient Egypt, the god Isis is the ark for the archangels that domes over the heavens and is painted blue and the man is on his back looking up. Because all men pass through the garden to get into earth. The garden is pure and unadulterated. Called the vagina or virginity. We all pass through it to get here. Now, some men are saying, but didn't women originally come from us? Oh, yes. And didn't we originally come from? Yes. That's because we are the ruh principle and she is the nafs principle. The nafs principle is interpreted in ancient Egypt as the ka. The letter ka, or what you might know as k. In your language, you put ka on the end of nouns or constructing verbs to identify you. You'd say book, kitab, kitabuka, my book. Now, when I say my book, kitabuka, I could just as well say nefsi, me. Nefsi is in the Quran as both spirit and self. So the principle of Ka is both spirit and self. Both physical and spiritual. But Ruh, they call in the Quran, Ruhu Qudus. And Allah says, I, or we, Elohim, strengthened Jesus with our Ruh. That was up there. Now, to put things in proper place. In this realm, we are on the planet Earth. And on the planet Earth, she is the mother of all living. You follow that? When we get back into our proper state as Elohim in the heavens, we are the father of the heavens. See, when they refer to the Almighty, they refer to him as a father figure. When they refer to the creation of beings, they refer to it as a mother figure. Thus, we have to come through the mother as a soul to manifest as a spirit and a self on this planet. So we were soul first. And prior to that, we were holy soul. Ruhu Qudus. A part of the Elohim. But we have fallen to less than man. We reduced ourselves to animals and beasts. chasing the animals and cutting their heads off and drinking their blood. Right? We're now destroying everything. But it's because we are out of our minds. You see, we are out of our minds, literally out of our minds. When we was in our mind, nobody can fool us. But now this devil has given us his mind. And that brings me back to what I was talking about. And that's why he's afraid of you, brother. Because after three generations of being in America, you know what's starting to happen? Negroes on television, you can't tell whether they're white or black no more. He comes on television and says, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. And you got to look around the screen and say, wow, I thought that was white. That never happened before because we had the voice of the sound of many waters. The white man couldn't look us in our eyes because our eyes had flames of fire coming out of them. What fire? The solar plex fire. Solar. Now let me speak to you about a fire that's burning inside of us that they don't have. Their pilot is low. You understand me? We have an inner torch in the ancient writings of Michelangelo. Notice his name. Michelangelo, the angel Michael, he made us of Jesus, Jesus, and he always would draw a little torch in his chest. A little candle.
That's right.
Remember that picture?
That's right.
They never told you what that torch meant, though. That torch is an inner light, like I said last time. Anybody here who is 9 ether, 8 ether, or 7 ether, and when I say 7, 8, and 9 ether, I'm talking about the texture of your kingly hair, not kinky hair. 7 ether is wavy. 8 ether is curly, and 9 ether is nappy. You understand that? That's the fuse that's ignited by the sun. In the center of your chest, and that's why the devil calls it a solar plex, because it's a sun here. Take your hand and just rub it like that. Right? Now we move it. And just take your mouth and go, you feel that heat? You know that if you ask any medical doctor, they'll tell you more Nubian children get high temperatures than whites. In fact, don't believe me. Check it out. Almost every, or let's say 8 out of 10 Nubian children, when they came home from the hospital, within 8 to 10 days is back in because of a temperature. Because when we inflate our pyramid, you know what the pyramid is, right? Right there. Right there. Right there. See the pyramid? And above the pyramid is of Horus. Right there. You understand that? They always put, in ancient Egypt, they would put a cobra up at the top. Because the snake was not a bad symbol to us. It was a bad symbol to him because it represented healing to us. And they stole it and put it on the medical symbol. Medical symbol. Medicine. Medicine. Meta. Meta. Ancient Babylon. Persia. Assyria. Medicine. Look at it. Don't believe me. Check it out. When we breathe in as a people, talk to me. What are we breathing in? Right. Do you know something? I'm going to touch on things we know about us. At least 3 times a week, you wake up with one nostril closed. Why? I'm not sick. And then the moment I get up out the bed and started moving around, that nostril opens back up. I can fool myself into thinking I'm getting cold. The light's going out. I'm getting a cold. You see, the fire goes out, it gets cold.
Right.
Or cool off and go pop in some drugs that makes me breathe different. Drugs make you breathe harder. And you don't get in that full what? Oxygen. Say it again.
Oxygen.
Oxygen. And what do you need to light a fire?
Oxygen.
And when you breathe out, what are you breathing out?
Carbon dioxide.
Carbon dioxide. Right? What's the root word of carbon dioxide?
Carbon.
And what does fire give off when it burns?
Carbon.
I know I sound crazy. I know this sounds far-fetched, but this is what we knew as right knowledge as the Elohim who only served who?
Yeah.
This is what we knew, that that sun was in touch with us, and we're at our best under it. And that's why they moved a better part of us from the southern part of this country to the northern part of the country where we can't function. As you get down to a hot, or say, well, it's too hot down in Alabama, so that's where you belong. You start to my thumb being too hot, you start to sound like the devil. Only reason why it seems too hot to you is because the palate that's inside you is dim. Once that palate is hot again and the heat is coming out, it meets that sun. You with me? That sun in Arabic was called Shems. In Hebrew, it's called Shems. It's also Samson. Samson is also Shems. And Samson is identified by what? And his
hair.
Somebody don't want us to know about the nine ether. Can you follow? The 100% in hieroglyphics is written as a nine. 100%. We are the only people with nine ether. Now, anybody here whose hair is thin and says, well, he's not talking about me. If you get insulted, I feel bad for you because you didn't feel bad for us when nappy hair was an insult. You didn't comfort us when nappy hair was an insult. You paraded around with your hair brushed straight and wavy. And that's our people. That's you. We all the same family, but you didn't step in and give us that tutoring. We call ourselves dicky head, naughty head, nappy head, never knowing why they're always sticking hats on us. So they're cutting us off from that flow, from that energy, from who Hagar in the Torah called El Roy. When Hagar left Abraham, again, I'm going to say what? Look it up. When Hagar left Abraham, went back in the wilderness right before she went back to Egypt, she did not call on Yahuwah as an Israelite. Who'd she call on? She did not call on Elohim. She called on El Roy, which is written Ra Alif Yad, which is Ra. El Ra. She was calling on Ra, not the sun. Because the language sun is still Shemsa.
Right.
The word for sun in hieroglyphics is not Ra. They say the disk. That round thing up there looks like a disk that gives off the light that we could see by. Because there wasn't no street lights in Egypt. And so Ra and Ra for see in Arabic is the same. And the Quran says, don't say Ra'inna. Say Unzanna. Don't misuse the word Ra. Say it as I see you, not Ra'inna. Right in the Holy Quran. You know, and go down to the tafsir, and they say, we don't know what's really being said. We think they're trying to say a Hebrew word, or we think they're trying, they got a whole bunch of they don't know what's being said. It's quite simple when we get back into right knowledge. That light and the light inside of you is linked up. That light inside of you is ether and identifies you as the utopia. And when you combine the two, you get Ethiopia. The original people of Pat. That's who we are. We are the ancient Nubians. Ain't no such thing as a Kubulan. Stop lying, Dr. Ben. You can only lie until they get the language, I'm telling you. As long as these people don't have the language, you can lie to them. When they get the language, you can't lie no more. Because the meaning of everything in the scriptures, whether you call it the Bible or Torah, is in the translation of people's names. That's where it's all at. They will not tell you that. Because if they tell you that, you'll start reading the Quran and seeing the people's names. You'll start identifying symbolism with God, with deities and gods. And you'll back away from the stupidity that has kept us down. And why are we down? Because someone has clipped our ether cord from the Elohim. And they teach us to look down. Hold your head down in prayer, the Christian church says. Drop your head in solemn prayer. Right? Stand in Qiyam and put your hands on your chest and hold that, cover that light. Block that light and drop your head down. When Christianity or Krishna worship or Hinduism no longer worked on you, you understand? Then they came in with El Islam. When I say El Islam, I'm not talking about real El Islam. I'm talking about with Khadija. Now, look at this. Rasulullah Muhammad, alayhi salatu wassalam, I'm saying that because the Sunnis always say salatu wassalam. I don't know why. They can't pronounce a stupid thing like sallallahu alayhi wassalam. When Rasulullah came down from the mountain, come on, and he said he just had this meeting with this Holy Spirit called Jibrael. Salaamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. She took him and took him where? Took her to who? Took him to the paper. Took him to the paper. Waraka. Why was he called Waraka? It tells you. Because he was the keeper of the... And the... But was he an Israelite according to them? Or was he a Christian? That's right. So Khadija saw that Muhammad had some vision and she rushed him to the Christians. Wait a minute. There was a whole lot of Jews in Mecca and Medina at the time. It's all throughout this, the seerah of Islam. They teach all about these different tribes of Jews. She didn't go and say to the Jews, who is Gabriel? She took him to the Christians. And the Christians got together and said, we're going to make him an Arabian prophet. College, whether you like it or not, I'm sorry. We're going to make him a prophet. You understand that? And they set out to make Muhammad into a prophet. Muhammad didn't know what he was. And it says it in the Quran. Muhammad came down for Surat al-Qalam and said, I don't know what. They're saying I'm possessed by a jinn.
Right, that's right.
And they said, Muhammad, by the grace of Allah, you're not possessed by a jinn.
Right.
Now go and put your cloak on and go back down there and teach.
Right.
They said, well, who did I meet? Does the Quran say it's Jibreel Muhammad back in the cage? No.
Right.
They don't say who it is. Somebody added in the name Jibril later because they can take it back to Gabriel coming to Mary type of thing.
Right.
That made sense.
Right.
All he said is he heard a voice and someone yelled out to him in a light, Muhammad, read. And he said, I can't read. But they add, yeah, Jibreel, ma'ana biqariyan. The name, that's not in the Quran. You don't see in Surah Al-Alaq. Muhammad, Iqra, wa ba'd dhalik, wa qalat al-mala'ika, ya Jibreel, ma'an rikariyan. You don't hear that? After that, the angel says, I am not a reader. You don't hear that? Read. They added Jibreel, and you won't dare question them. And no Sunnis won't question them. And no Shi'i won't question them. I had to come along to question them. Say, wait a minute. Show me in the Quran where it says that that's Jibreel who met him. Well, that's what's written. I don't care what. I want to see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the controller of the heavens and the earth. I'm not concerned with what some man said. Show me. Any good writer could write a good story. Just read the prophet by Khalil Gibran. And anybody who read that book, you know that book is more inspiring than the Quran at times. And it was once in a classical form of Arabic. And he's called a Nabi, the prophet. But they killed him. And they'll kill anybody who tries to teach you right knowledge. Especially now, because your body is beginning to adjust to this environment. You understand that? And in 8 more days, or 8 more years, when the 400 years is up, you will have reached the fourth generation of genetic breeding chromosome, and you will be back to a state of godliness in the year 2000. And the devil knows that. And he knows that the voice of one crying from the wilderness is already here. He hears it. He hears the teachings of the Lamb. I'm not the Messiah. It says in Revelation, like unto the Son of Man. I will be thought to be the Messiah. I will appear in a Messiah image to people. I'll teach like the Messiah. But I am not the Messiah. Just like the Messiah. And he can hear now. He said, this man has changed full streams in a matter of 1 year. He then went from teaching Ellis Lam in his pristine purity and dove into questions that nobody else would touch on, and now he's talking in Hebrew.
All right.
Because it says in the books of Revelation that out of his mouth in the book of Daniel went a two-edged sword. You have to understand the Hebrew and the Arabic. Muslims don't understand just understanding Arabic, and Hebrews don't understand just understanding Hebrew. Don't you see how I'm marrying the two?
That's right.
But they can tell by what I'm saying now. The Masons say, oh my God. Oh brother Nimrod. Elijah has come.
All right.
People say, well, that Elijah was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Was it?
No.
Read the book of Malachi. They couldn't even tell you what the name Malachi meant, let alone who received the book. If you're the man in the book, don't you know who received the book?
Right.
Show me anywhere in the Nation of Islam teaching where they tell you who Malachi was. They don't know. The word Malachi is Hebrew. Mim, Lamet, Kaf, Malach, angel. The yet on the end is my angel. The archangel. The Almighty is saying, I will send my angel. He knows me as Yahuwah and Elijah. That's not his name. That's a title describing the being that would come to earth. If you read the whole book of Malachi, you'll see it says it's an angel in the second chapter. And then what does it say? First will come Elijah. Then will come the Lord, as they put it in the Bible for a translation. Correct?
Right.
First will come who?
Right.
And then, it says right in the last chapter, the last verse or the fourth chapter of the book of Malachi, I will send Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. You understand me?
No.
Now, in Israel, a prophet prophesies. Tells you what things are going to happen. That's been done. You understand me? Then will come the Lord. Now, if that was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, someone switched things backwards. Because Master Farah Muhammad was already here when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad met him. Is that true or false?
True.
Master Farah Muhammad was older than the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So he was born before him, in case they say something about that. And if he was the Lord, or God incarnate, that was coming after the honor of Elijah Muhammad, then someone switched things up on you. I'm sorry if I'm touching soft spots, but we ain't got but 8 more days. I got to teach straight out now. No more parables. No more El Islam. No more Judaism or Christianity. Nothing but right knowledge. When you go down off the Mount Zion and you say, I spoke with the Lamb, but he ain't talking nothing but right knowledge. They say, what does your religion say? I don't have a religion. I am religion. What are y'all? Amen. What are y'all, Muslims or Jews or Christians? Yeah. Yeah. We're Muslims if the word Muslim means one of the peace. Because peace in the Lamb is truly wonderful.
Right.
We're Christians if you mean those who acknowledge the Messiah, the real one, Yahshua. Not Mark Anthony and Cleopatra's son.
Right.
Yes. And we are Hebrews if you mean we are Abraham's descendants. Oh, yeah. What else do you want us to be? We'll be whatever you want us to be as long as you define what it means to me. Don't call me no Muslim and you don't know whether it means submit or peace. One minute some scholar says it means submission, the next minute some scholar says, I'm standing there confused. Confused. But the thing that made me an Elohim is way back in the books of Genesis. Genealogy of Isis. And it says right in there, now the Adama, they use, the Adama, the man, has become
like us.
And he has right knowledge. He what? Knows. That's right knowledge. Once you know right from wrong, wrong can't get you.
Right.
Once you know right knowledge from wrong knowledge, no one can teach you wrong knowledge anymore. Once you know good from bad, you know how to act, fool. But now we done forgot good from bad, so we don't know how to act. We don't know how to treat people. We don't have no contact with the universe, and we're wondering why every time we gather it rains. It rains because though I'm standing there telling you you have a link to that sun, you don't really want to believe me. You still want to believe in spookism. You still want to worship the word of law. You walk up and say, man, he's turning us away from the worship of the law. Somebody stop you and say, who is the law? What is the law? A word. Christianity pushed that in St. John's chapter 1. In the beginning was a word. What the word mean? Is what I want to know. Okay, we got back. They said the word means Jesus, logos. But at least you took it back from Jesus to logos and took it back to soul, Elma, and then spiritos, as they brought it from Greek to Latin. But they took it back to some spirit force. And they jumped over Jesus, but they left me and you leaning on Jesus. Good Jesus, coming to save us. The Nation of Islam gave you another Jesus. I'm sorry if it hurts your feelings. Y'all have been waiting for the return of Master Prophet Muhammad since 1933. Tell the truth. You said Master Muhammad is coming back. Pamphlets are going to fall out the sky. Everybody get their holy name and be ready to go. Ain't that what they taught?
Right, right.
Speak the truth, though it's been at others.
Right.
Ain't no Master Fraud came back. He didn't even come back to Honor Elijah Muhammad's funeral. Don't get mad at me because somebody misinformed you. That was a Japanese conspiracy.
Right.
To use you to overthrow in this country. And that's why the flag, in Muhammad speaks, everything was called Nippon. That's another word for Japan. They used to refer to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad insultingly as muk-muk, meaning Japanese. On the front of Muhammad's speech, there was a rising sun, the flag of Japan. You understand what I'm saying? There was no place in the doctrine for a culture, though they were called a cult. They had nothing that tied you back to a specific place in any country. In any land. And now Minister Louis Farrakhan is trying to look Senegalese. See, the outfit he appears in on Savior's Day is a Senegalese outfit. You got to learn to look at things and read them. See, now, why of all the places of Africa did you pick a Senegalese outfit, Farrakhan? You never speak about visiting Senegalese. Because the government has a plot with synagogue. Now you see it. There's people from all across the country standing there right now. And downtown in everybody's area, there's Senegalese on the street peddling.
Right.
New Negroes. Right? They'll sell anything for the white man.
Right.
What do you think they're here for? Huh? They're here to supplant you, Jacob. And why is he representing them? Why? Because he works with them. I hate to tell you that. Mr. Louis Farrakhan only started talking back black after I addressed him in that book. He said, well, you wrote a pamphlet apologizing and said the Honorable Elijah Muhammad came to you in a dream and told you that both Farrakhans are the same. All of them, in fact. And that there should be no differences. Fine. And now that we have defined that, then do this for me. Put Farrakhan's picture up on his day, just once. What do I mean by that? Why don't they put Master Farrakhan Muhammad's picture up on Savior's Day?
Right.
Isn't he the Savior?
Right, yeah.
Didn't he come on that day?
Right.
Didn't he save them, as they say?
Right.
The lost but now found. How come his picture never goes up?
Right.
How come his picture is not in Muhammad's speech all throughout it? If God came to me in a person and saved me, I'd have his picture on my chest, the way some of you guys are walking around with my picture on your chest.
Right.
Then that's our Savior, and you ain't afraid to say it.
That's right.
Yo, Sunni Muslims say, y'all worship Imam Isha. Say, they didn't worship in Muhammad. At least Imam Isa is alive. I can touch him and talk to him and watch him fall down the hill. It becomes more realistic. Like, yeah, he's my idol. I idolize him, but I worship Allah. You follow that? Now, you take that home and sleep with him. But why isn't Master Farrakhan Muhammad's picture up on Savior's Day? Did you ever wonder? Because if you saw that picture, you'd walk out that temple. You would not stay there long if you really kept looking up every Savior Day. Because somewhere along the line, inside of you, the genealogy of Isis is going to explode, and you're going to say, that man don't have 7, 8, or 9 Ether. That man is standing there with 6 Ether, blank straight hair. That is not one of us.
Right.
And the story is fantastic. That Allah's father lived in Saudi Arabia. And we are his uncles.
Right.
My name is W.F. Muhammad. I came in North America by myself. My uncle was born over here by a trader 279 years ago. He does not know he's my uncle. That's the lesson. That's the lesson. He does not know he's my uncle. Who is he talking about? Huh? He's talking about you. And according to that's the student English class 1 to 36. I'm quoting it. I came in North America by myself. Somebody else finish it. Come on, y'all was in the nation. My uncle was brought over by a trader 379 years ago. Come on, you 5%ers. Now, talk to me. If I'm God's uncle, I'm older than God.
That's true.
If I'm God's uncle, if Master Prophet Muhammad calls me his uncle, and even if I'm his uncle and I'm in the wilderness of North America and talked and messed my brain up and I don't know who I am, I still am older than you,
right,
making me your God. But he said that.
Yes, he did.
He said, who is the original man? He's got a black man, maker, owner, king of the planet, earth, father, civilization, and God of the universe. He took us from the earth back to the universe.
Yeah.
Right? Asiatic black man, maker, owner, cream of the planet earth, father of civilization, and God of the universe. Not the planet, of the universe. And then they said, and nothing is spooky? Now that's spooky. I'm a man, and I'm the ruler of the universe, and you're God, and I'm your uncle? But I don't know I'm your uncle? Now, what bothers me about that is, I don't think they ever wanted us to even know. because there's nowhere in the teachings after that where they explain how I'm his uncle. Why they tell us? Master Farah Muhammad said in the lessons that I'm his uncle. Define that for me. How am I his uncle? What makes me his uncle? You follow that? No one tried to bother to teach. I'll tell you why. Because they use the name Yaakov, which is Yaakov. Yaakov. And that's Jacob. And say he is the father of the devil. And the devil's strictnology, which is called Judaism. And then they say, and they use it, Christianity, to shield their dirty religion, which is Judaism. You follow that? So they're speaking about Yaakov giving birth to a religion, not a race. The gravitation of the devil is a devil's mentality of trick knowledge, lies, and tricks in the form of knowledge. And it will be called Christianity to hide Judaism, the real dirty religion of the Ashkenazans and the Sephardines of Russia and from Spain. That's what they're talking about. And with that, I become Ishmael because Ishmael was the uncle of Jacob. So what Master Farah Muhammad was saying, I came to North America by myself. The Ishmaelites were brought over here by a trader 379 years ago. They don't even know the Ishmaelites.
Right.
Now the funny part comes in. Can an Ishmaelite be an Israelite?
Yes.
Has to be. Are Midianites Israelites?
Yes.
Are Edomites Israelites? Oh, yes. How does Ishmaelites become Israelites? The same way Manasseh and Ephraim became Israelites. Manasseh and Ephraim were the sons of Yusuf, Joseph, correct? And married an Egyptian woman, correct? And had two sons. And Jacob welcomed them in the covenant of Israel, and they became known, though they were Manassehites and Ephraimites, they still were known as Israelites. Well, Hagar was an Egyptian, and she married Abraham, the father. And she had a son named Ishmael. Correct? And therefore, Ishmael is a... And Muhammad then, being a descendant through the Quraysh, to Kedah, to Nebajot, to Nebat, all the way back to Ishmael, becomes a... Muslims are Israelites and don't even know it. The Quran speaks about them as being people of the book. Right? Now, the Muslims separate that, say, people in the book are the Israelites and we're the Muslims. But they say in the Quran, Muhammad, who we find mentioned in the book, in the Torah. So Muhammad is in the Torah, and Muhammad is a person of the, and if we follow Muhammad, then we are people of the, and the people of the book are Israelites, then Israelites and Ishmaelites are?
Same.
So Master Farah Muhammad was saying, I came to North America by myself. My uncle, meaning the Israelites or Ishmaelites, were brought over here by a slave trader 379 years ago. Now we're coming to the 400th year of the prophecy of Genesis chapter 15. It says, to know of a surety that my seed will be in a land as strangers, and they shall serve and be afflicted for. But then after that, what's going to happen? We're going into the 400th year. We're starting to align back in with the universe. You understand? No. Say no. I don't understand, Baboni. I overstand now. I was understanding for too long. Now I overstand. It's time. It's wake up time. It is time to wake up. Shake it. You can go against anybody with what I've been teaching you. And I'm not asking you to like me, like the teachings. You can go against anybody. You can stand and hold your own against anybody, and most of y'all have tried it and know it works. Christian preacher, Christian teacher, Mohammedan, Sunni, Ahmadiyya, Wahhabi, Baha'i, Buddhist, anybody can't stand against truth, and it's only going to get heavier this year. Because now you're going to come and you're going to be speaking words of overstanding because we got the right knowledge. You got to assimilate that knowledge with your wisdom, and then you got to move on to have an overstanding. Islam was the knowledge. And y'all are the best Muslims there were. Ain't no Muslim women were walking around with veils on their faces and holes in their noses. Were they? Unless they were copying off us and didn't want to admit it. We're the only ones that live strict. We made the 100 raka'ah, but Nisim and Shaban, no Sunnis was doing it. You couldn't get them. You go to Stacy or Taqwa or Iqra, and on the night of them niggas over there smoking cigarettes outside talking. Not their fault. It's just their wrong knowledge. They've been made to hate their own savior. That happened in Israel. It happened in Egypt. It happened when Moses got ready to get out of Egypt. His own people started hating their own savior, Moses. You may not like me, but I'm here to save you. Whether you like it or not, I'm going to teach you anyway. And if they kill this body, that's your fault. I'm not going to duck. I'm not going to stand in front of the gun, but I'm not going to duck. If you want the knowledge to keep coming to you, then you protect it. Plain and simple. But I'm not the type of person who won't get in my car and drive away without bodyguards. That's the kind of person I am. Now, you can follow me if you feel like. I don't mind. But don't get in my way. Because I believe that when it's time, it's time. And I may be the wrong belief, but I just happen to believe that. I wish I knew. But no one knows that but Allah. No one knows that hour and day but Him. But I do know this, that this is a time for right knowledge. If I want to question that, I'll let you have it. Let me talk. Right? If you show me in the Quran where it says I should stand in Qiyam and bow in Wukul, I'll do it. I can show you in the Quran where it says stand and raise your hands. I can show you in the Quran where it says prostrate to the ground. I can't show you justice and you can't show it to me. It was necessary for you to go through that school because we were the wild ass of a man. You understand? We had no discipline. And the Nation of Islam did not give us the kind of discipline necessary to raise a nation. Otherwise, the moment the Honorable Elijah Muhammad died, it wouldn't have fell apart. There has to be a strong foundation put there. Y'all now have the discipline. I'll tell you something, a lot of you men who was in the community for years under what I was teaching you, under the lifestyle that you had to live, you said, I don't know why I got to live like this. I don't know why I got to put up with this. You can stand anything now. Any pressure they put you under, you go work with somebody else, and the people working with you want to fight, get you fired. And that nigga don't know when he don't stop and take break. He don't smoke. He ain't drinking no soda. Get right? Y'all can outwork any group of people on the planet right now. Because I was building an imaginary pyramid. I was saying sleep on the floor. There's rats in there, folks. So what's wrong with rats? They might bite you. Then don't get bit. There's always somebody that gets bit. Why gotta be you? There's no heat, so. There's too much heat, so. I subjected y'all to everything that you can go through to make you ready to stand whatever comes against us. Because I don't need, can I speak here? I don't need the bitch in men. I really don't need the bitching men, because the devil is going to make up his mind to come after us one day. It's written in the law. He's going to try to climb Mount Zion to destroy us, the Holy Tabernacle. You understand? And I don't need men that are going to break down like little girls. I made brothers walk the streets in pedal, but anybody who knows the beginning know I walked the streets in pedals. They'll tell you I used to walk them to death. Anybody talk to any old timer, they say that guy is nuts. He'd walk us from, I'd walk them from Coney Island to the Bronx. I'm not exaggerating. Every day. And on the way back, I'd stop off at a kosher restaurant and say, we're going to split this bowl of pea soup. Is that true? And take all the money and give it to the sisters. Say, later, we left the sisters there with the money and we took off again. And we walked again from Coney Island to Staten Island to Far Rockaway, out to Hempstead, and all the way back. And on the way back, we stopped. And they say, can we get something to eat? I say, yeah. We'll get a little soup and a little extra. The man, they be like, yeah. I say, give me a little coleslaw, please. And they say, well, one of those Knishes or one of those Franks over there. Said, no, just coleslaw. And they said, what? I said, just keep walking.
Right.
I said, one day you'll understand what I'm doing. You may not like it now, but one day you'll understand what I'm doing. And we'd walk. When we walk inside the Sunni Muslim mosque, the whole place would turn around. They'd feel the presence because we had walked all the way from Brooklyn to 125th Street. And we'd go up in the mosque and they would be like, who are these guys? They'd feel the presence, the energy of that. We're ready for Juma. I don't want no crap out of you people. The strength we were building. Something that was not there because we loafed around or we lined. We moved along, shuffling along. And everybody else was moving. I said, no, it wasn't your fault. Why were you moving at that pace? Because you've been placed in the wrong environment. You're not in your environment. You're a gazelle in the wrong forest. So you're going to be slower than everybody else. You say, how come the people come from the Caribbean appear to be smart enough? And don't lie, American Negroes, and say you don't say that. I don't have a nationality. I'm a visitor. So I'm Trinidadian, Jamaican, Panamanian, Dominican Republic. I'm all of it. And you know you Americans would say, how come the people from the Caribbean appear to be smarter than us? Because they were nearer to their environment. Their feet was on the ground. Now go to Canada and find people from the Caribbean who are from Canada. You'll find that they're not as smart as you at times. You find a Latino from Puerto Rico who's been born and raised here. He thinks he's smarter than a Jibaro, but he's not. He calls him a hick because he has on a flowered, loud shirt. He got all these bright colors on, and we got on gray and black and navy blue, and we think we're cool. And we call him a hick, Jibaro, or Jibara. We're making fun of him. He's in tune with the flowers of Puerto Rico.
Right.
We're in tune with the buildings on Wall Street. He's walking down the street, and he looks up at a sign, and he asks you with a heavy accent, where is Bushwick Avenue? And you're looking under the sign of Bushwick Avenue, and you look at him and saying, he's got to be stupid. This is Bushwick Avenue we stand on. He said, this is Bushwick Avenue. And you and your dumb friends walk off, his stupid-ass people. Blah, 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 blah. Man might know 15 other languages and never bother to learn English, though.
Right.
You assume everybody got to want to speak this language.
Right.
But he didn't speak English, so he didn't know that was Bushwick Avenue. You think he's stupid. He's the one with the knowledge, and you're stupid. All of that has been done to us. All that was done to strip us of our divinity, to make us worship other people's gods, other people's descendants. You understand what I'm saying? It pulled us out of touch with ourselves. A lot of people didn't stay on the boat with me. Like Columbus, I said, land is ahead. They were like, oh, no, I don't see no land. This is getting ridiculous. I can't live like this. I'm leaving. I said, okay, don't go to Shul. Shul is the Hebrew word for hell, and the English word for school. See, everybody who wants to leave the community, the first thing they tell me is, well, that's when I was called up front. Well, Imam, I say yes, I would like to go back to shul. I want to go back to school. And I say in my mind, in Hebrew, he wants to go back to hell. I want to go back and get edumacated so I can get a degree. I can get more heat in hell. I say, well, fine, you just go right on. I'll see you when you wake up. You with me?
Right.
All of that was perpetrated against us. They have been working with religion on us. They need us, and they make you, believe me, some of y'all are looking at me right now like, he's trying to take us away from religion. That's how deep this spell is. I'm not trying to take you away from religion. I'm trying to take you directly to Allah. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Go direct. Stop going through all these things. And stop pretending when you got a mosque with all this Arabic on the wall that that's not an idol. When you have a synagogue and you have the Torah behind the wall and the Torah is all decorative and someone's pointing with a pointer, stop pretending that that's not idol worship. Because if there's any object between you and the source, it's idol worship. Can I have idols? Yes, I can't have idols. Because if you read in the books of Exodus, it says we follow the religion of who? And who? And Jacob and Isaac. So our ancestors were our idols. And it's in the scriptures. They say they worship the God of their father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Somewhere along the line, they gave us the guilty about identifying with Jacob, Isaac, or Joseph, or Muhammad. With all that, they made us turn to a word and said, Allah. Is it? And left us there. They never told us the hidden meanings of things. Now it's time for the people of Nuapo, Pat, to come forth again. When you want to know the truth or right knowledge, ask. That's what I'm here for. You may not like the answer I give you. Don't believe me. Don't believe anybody. Carry that with you off this mountain. He said, don't believe anybody. And just because you come with a soft-spoken voice and a turban and some cajole and some perfume and you got a book in your hand called reading, that don't mean I got to believe you. That don't mean I got to believe that book. I'll take the Quran and throw it against the wall and watch the look on your face. And when you get mad, I'll see, now I know what you worship, nigga. Because that ain't nothing but a piece of paper with some writing in it. It's what's in it that's supposed to be important, not this book. Put the Quran on the highest shelf in your house. When I finished reading the Quran, I'm like, all I want, what is in it? Did I confuse anybody? No. I'll throw the Quran up on the wall. I don't care about no Quran. I'm concerned with what the message was. Man put it on paper, and then when he put it on paper, he started messing the doggone thing up. And they got this school of pronunciation, this school of thought, and this school. I don't need your schools or your shoes. I don't want them. I want pure, right knowledge. Something that's going to link me back ethically to my descendants so the next time we have a party, it ain't going to rain. Because it's you people here that are idol worshipers in the sense of words that are not in tune with our ancestors that's making it rain, you know. We calculated it up on the mountain. We be saying, can people who live on the mountain raise their hand? Oh, that's the perimeter. Very good security. Tell them when they leave, the rain stops.
That's right.
The day y'all come, it starts. We sit there in amazement. Say, okay, now, being June 26th, it rained a little bit. We'll try for the 17th, right?
Yep.
And the 17th comes, I said, look like it's going to be good outside. Everything is good. Everybody's here. Fine. Here come you word worshippers. You spook worshippers. I'm sorry. Don't get mad at me. You ain't in tune with our ancestors. The Native Americans, when they want some rain, they start jumping up on the ground. Because they say they got ancestors that live down beneath the earth. They start stamping their foot like this. And they say it makes rain. White man said, rain dances are real. Follow that? Now, when he took that, he went to Africa and grabbed the Nigerians. And they were Shango worshippers in Obasala and Ogun in Yemaya called Voodoo or Juju in French. He grabbed them and said, hey. Train took them boats and said, direct those boats to Haiti. Don't stop over here. And sent those Africans to Haiti and went back and got some people who were monotheism. People who believe in one of the gods. You are more as Muslims and Israelites out of Ethiopia and Sudan, you were more controllable than those guys from Nigeria that was banging on sticks and calling down the rishis and putting the white man under spells and turning him into zombies. He was scared of them. He don't
What is the correct way to make ablution?
There is no right way. It's called mikvah in the scriptures, purifying the body. Now, the Quran, if you want to follow El's Quran, right, then you would follow the tradition that says, by the Lord, it says wash your hands, your feet, your face. There's nothing about sticking your fingers in your ears and going behind your ears and crossing your fingers. None of that was law. Those are customs and traditions that men fed us and we followed. Instead of us saying, this me, El Allah, El Rahman, El Rahim, which is the way we should have said it. They were taking the El out of everything. That's what the Mohammedans did, the pagan Arabs, because they worship Ur. Ur is from where the word Ur of Chaldea comes from, meaning fire. So they changed it to classical form, added tajweed, and had a saying, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, or Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and took El's name out.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
We go back to the Torah, the Tanakh, and look at the first chapter, Bereshit, or what's called the genealogy of man. It says...
Wait, you're giving me all these things to read. I got to start somewhere. I don't know if I ain't going to remember all this.
Start where I started. Read the book of the angel Malachi. When you say Malachi, you're saying my angel. The reason why they don't know who wrote the book is because Melchizedek wrote the book of Malachi. Read the book of Malachi, and it tells you what to read in Revelation. Then go from Malachi straight to John. And then from John straight the Revelations, don't read the stuff in between.
Start with Malachi.
Read Malachi.
But my poster is right.
Oh yeah, both of them are right. The poster is right by tradition. Ansaris, right following the tradition of our fathers prayed a certain way. And they added in customs and traditions, it became century practice.
I understood that.
That's clear? Now we've got the point where we're at the first candle. I know it's going to sound confusing. The first candle of the last 8 years of Hanukkah is lit. We're now 8 years from the end of the world. So that candelabra that you see the so-called Jews lighting every year around Christmas, which is December, which is the symbol of the goat, which is Capricorn, as they call it, right, is symbolic of the last 8 days of creation.
2000.
Until the year 2000. The first candle that was lit this year in Israel. You
right.
Follow that?
Yeah.
And now we're starting the countdown for the miracle. If that candle stays lit without burning out for 8 more years, we're coming into the year 2000, which is the end of his...
This is a literal candle.
This is a literal candle that's kindled, right, in Israel, right? And if it stays lit, we're coming into the end of the world. The devil knows his time is up. It's 6,000 years up. We, as a people, are... Listen, we are Israelites. Why do I say we're Israelites? I say we're Israelites because Ishmaelites are Israelites. They just don't want to know it. Let me tell you why. For those who understand, the word Israel, Israel, means to ascend towards, their name again, El, E-L, right? Israel. Muhammad made an Israel in the Quran to El. So Muhammad, his name should have been changed to Israel, but the Muslims didn't do it. Now, in the house of Yahweh, Jacob, his son, Joseph, married an Egyptian woman, Asiah, and had two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And Jacob welcomed those two sons, Manassehites and Ephraimites, into the family as Israelites. Correct? Now that's a historical fact.
Okay.
Now let's go back to Abraham. Abraham took a wife called Hagar, an Egyptian woman. She had a son named Ishmael, or Ishmael, right? And he had sons. So by right, the Ishmaelites are as much Israelites as are Manasseh and Ephraim. So when they speak of the host in the book of Malachi, I'm appearing so when you read it, you'll see it. When it speaks of the host of Elo, or the host of Elo, they're talking about all of us in the last covenant. The first chapter of Malachi is going to tell you how the Israelites messed up. The second chapter of Malachi is going to tell you about a new covenant that came in amongst the Ishmaelites and how they messed up. And the third chapter of Malachi is going to tell you about us. And the fourth chapter of Malachi is going to tell you about the end of the world.
I have one more question. You said in 8 years, but I was told 144,000 would be my children's children. So how is that going to come about in 8 years?
It's not.
So what about 144,000?
I'll tell you. Wait. It was supposed to be born like the elders. The word Shem. The word Shem means upward or there in the ancient language. Shem means upward or, in Arabic you say Shem, sky. Shem is Hebrew or Aramaic for there. In the scriptures, in the sixth chapter of Genesis, right, they speak about elders coming down here and having children amongst human beings and producing children of Shem. They call it renown, but the Hebrew word is Shem, children of the sky. Those that was spoken out. The next time it happened is when it said, "My soul will not always be with man, for he is but flesh." And they were speaking about when an individual will be born the same way as those original beings. And that would be that some individual will be born by the intervention of an angelic being, your father, and a human woman, like it said, and the sons of God saw the daughters of man and went into them.
Did that happen again?
That was Jesus. All right? And he said he'll live 120 years. That was him. Now, and then at the end, they say, "We must," Jesus said, "as many as believe on me, to them I give the power to become the Shem, or the sons of Elohim." So therefore, we were supposed to produce the children in 1970 and raise them, and then they would give birth to the angelic kids.
So the kids, the children that were born in 1970?
Was supposed to be that, but the devil set out to get all those kids. He had his full concentration on the destruction of the kids in the tabernacle. We were so busy doing so many other things, we overlooked that he wanted the kids and the kids only. He wasn't interested in me, wasn't interested in you, he wasn't interested in him. He wanted our kids because he knew that they were supposed to give birth to that group of divine beings. The Elohim would be born on earth again, the Israel kids. So what he did is he destroyed the covenant and he made us. He said, "I'm going to make evil fair seeming." Check me again. There was a period of time when we knew. We had knowledge. We had no beliefs. Right now, you live in beliefs. You want to believe things. Belief is ignorance. Right knowledge is to know. You understand that? Belief is ignorance because belief is the acceptance of things that you do not know. As an Elohim, or as it says in the book of Genesis, that he said, now the man has become. Now the man has become like us. He knows good from evil. That's the first thing that it said that man knew. Good from evil.
This is the result of the destruction of the children in 1972.
Okay, I'm going to get to that. No, what it means is back then was the only time we ever knew anything. Name something you know now. You know nothing. You don't know if there's a heaven. You don't know if the Quran is authentic. You don't know if you're a human. You don't know whether this is mustard or red. You don't know whether this is white or gold. All you know is what they told you, and you have belief in what they told you. When we were in our right state of Elohim, we didn't have beliefs. We knew because we were the gods that everybody worshipped. You follow that? The people with the crown, the woolly hair, right? We were the original Watusi and the original Pygmies. There was here, Pygmies and Watusis were the original people that was on the earth before Adam and Eve. You understand? And Adam and Eve came after that. Adam and Eve was genetically bred by elders to give a genealogy. The first human being on the planet Earth, classified human being, was Seth's son. Seth's son's name was Enos. And Enos means mortal or human being. Seth of the Torah is Sethmos, the ancient Egyptian god. And Cain.
You said Adam and Eve were born through somebody?
Oh, yeah.
Not
Adam was a tribe, and Eve was a tribe. Male and female created he them, it says in Genesis.
So where does the apple and the serpent come in?
Apple and the serpent comes in with the pomegranate apple, and you can read all about the pomegranate apple and the building of Solomon's temple and the priest robe throughout Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers. These are books of the scriptures.
Yeah, I know where you're coming.
Yeah, so, but that happened to the family. Once that breed of the Watusis and the Pygmies came together to have that child, for the refilling of the earth. If you read, you'll see that it says in the beginning, he created two great lights. Correct? Poor interpretation says the two great lights are the sun and the moon. The moon has no light. So therefore, in Genesis, when it says he created two great lights, he couldn't be talking about the moon, because the moon has no light of its own. The moon is non-luminous. The second light he's talking about is the light that's inside you and me, people of the sun. We are Shema. The name Samson means solar. You with that?
Yeah.
That's what the name Samson means. Shamsa means the sun. So like, we are sun people. This is why we can live under the sun and Europeans cannot live under the sun.
We've really got an epidemic on our hands in this country. The incidence of melanoma is increasing alarmingly. We also have a very high incidence of other forms of skin cancer, to the point where 2 out of every 3 Australians before the age of 70 will have some form of skin cancer.
More than twice the world average, this high cancer rate is usually explained by Australians' love of the outdoors. Exposure to the sun's ultraviolet radiation causes skin cancer. And because the majority of people here are very light-skinned, they're especially susceptible to the sunburns that lead to this disease.
What they do not teach you is what's called right knowledge. Right knowledge is that there's a sun burning inside of you. a light burning inside of you. If they tell us there's just energy here, there's light and fire burning inside us, and that's what they're speaking about in the book of John when it says the light is shining in the darkness, but the darkness comprehendeth it not. And that light is called Ruh in Hebrew, and it's called Ra in ancient Egypt, and we were called Amun Ra. The word Amun means Amanah, faith. So Muhammad named all of those people that worship Ra Mu'min and Mu'minati, which is short for Amen. And every one of your prayers end with Amin.
Let me hear you say Amen. Oh, let me hear you say Amen.
Amin, which is the ancient Egyptian god, Amun and Ra. The Ra was the sun in us as the original people of the sun. And we roamed the earth millions of years, 17,250,000 years to be exact, before Adam was created 49,000 years ago. You follow that? And then Adam was just one breed from the Watusi tribe, and Hawa was one breed from the Pygmy tribe. They came together when the earth had been hit with a meteorite. It killed the dinosaurs and destroyed most of the life form on the planet. And that planet had to be refilled or replenished, like it says in the book of genealogy called Genesis, right? And that's when they brought these two kids together, Adam and Eve. And the men who brought them together were called the Elohim. That's why they translate in your Bible God. If you look into the Hebrew, it says in the beginning, Elohim did this. Elohim did this. And then when they get to Genesis chapter 2, in the first four verses, it moves from Elohim into Yahweh Elohim. And then when it gets into Genesis chapter 3, it gets down to who Satan is and his temptation of this man and this woman. But this man and woman were just walking on the earth where the spirit of the Most High, called Elohim, was already here. We were called the spirit because we were called Ruh, and Ruh is soul, and that's Ra, the sun, the light, and the light, the second light inside of us. The light that shineth that we don't understand. We are the gods. We have been taught to worship people when everybody on the planet is worshiping us. And it's that we are the people that they're worshiping. All this ancient Mesopotamian, Babylonian, and ancient Egyptian history are all facts, but it's all pre-history, meaning pre-Torah. The Torah was written strictly for us to log in our genealogy when the two children were created, Adam and Eve. Prior to that, we were gods, so we never worshipped. The first time you find anything about worship is when you get to Seth, and it says, and then they began to call on the name Yahweh, and that you'll find also in Genesis in the fourth chapter. Then they started calling. Prior to that, we didn't worship because we were worshipped. We were the Elohim. And that's why they always say Elohim is plural, and they try to put Jesus back there with the Elohim. So you go back to the book of John, and you read John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. Now go to Genesis, and it says, in the beginning, Elohim created. In the beginning was the Word. And then you go back to Genesis, and it says, in the beginning, Elohim. So the Word and Elohim must be the same thing. Yes, Jesus was a part of the Elohim, because he was one of the elders. And those elders and scientists are the ones who bred the Adam and Eve after the planet had been, like I said, hit by a flare of meteorites that destroyed all the dinosaurs and the prehistoric man. The first trace of the white man came out of what they call Java. The Java man, you heard of Java man?
Yeah.
Java man is a short word of saying Javan. You look in the genealogy of Yefit.
That Java man is like the Neanderthal man.
That's right. That's a hairy, that's an ape man, a dog man.
Europe.
That's right. That's Greeks. The word Java and Javan is the Greeks, because the sons of Japheth married in to the seed of Canaan and produced the Java man who went in caves. We lived behind waterfalls when the planet was covered under dust.
That meteorite that you're talking about, is that the Kaaba you're talking about?
The whole,
did that come
No, the Kaaba is a product of the flesh of Adam. That was a sign. That's when the scientists finished breathing, right, when they made it. That's all it has to do with. The Kaaba, when you look at the root of the Kaaba, you're talking about where they set up idol worship. Let me tell you about Al-Islam. Al-Islam was the first school. After Al-Islam, then there's Christianity. After Christianity, then there's the truth, Millah Ibrahim. I had to teach y'all Islam first and give y'all a thorough understanding of Islam. What is Islam? Islam is an ancient Babylonian religion. What do they call their religion in Islam? Deen. For 25 years, I tell them the Quran says Millah. For 25 years, they say Deen. Who's Deen? Dean is Dinah. Who's Dinah? An ancient goddess of the crescent. You follow that? What does it represent? Fertility. What is fertility? The symbols of a mosque. A minaret, which is supposed to be a penis, and a dome, which is a breast. It goes back to the ancient Babylonian worship that they kindled under the name Allat. Who is Allat? Allat was one of the ancient Babylonian gods from Nebuchadnezzar in that. It actually goes back to Nimrod in that. Islam was the first school of taking the spell of Leviathan off our people. Who had never intended for our people to remain Mohammedans or Mu'min, meaning people who worship Amun Ra. But there's Amun and Atun. Amun is plural, which is Elohim, and Atun is single, which is Eloh or Yahweh. We had to get back to the fact that we are the Elohim to get back to the fact that we are the Eloh. So a lot of traditions and customs, and I made sure that they knew every custom. We were the only community that wore veils, jellybeards. We did everything it was, because if you're going to teach your people well, you got to submerge them in that knowledge. You follow that?
Yeah.
But that was not what they call right knowledge. That was called belief. Because while we were all submerged in Islam, it was all based on belief, not facts. Now we had to go back, and after we finished that, I taught them all about Christianity.
When you say belief, you mean faith. No.
When I say belief, I mean to lie to Eve's children. Be lie, Eve. To lie to Eve's children, which is the one they said, there'll be two seeds, the woman seed, which is Eve, and the serpent seed, which is Leviathan.
Ooh.
And believe means to lie to Eve's children. Faith means believing in the God Amun. Amana, faith, mu'minun, mu'minati, ancient God. And that Amun, like I said, is all, we're Amun. We're Amun Ra. We're the son of it. And Islam just taught you the first stages.
Who worshipped us back then?
Who worshipped us?
Yeah, back then.
The Hindus worshipped us. You had Watusis, Pygmies, and the other people called Sindh. They called them Sindh, right? They moved down to a place called Bali. And they still have temples in Bali now, in India. And that was called Eden. That was a different Eden than our Eden. Right? Those people worshipped us and they made images of us. Krishna, Brahma, Shiva. When you say Brahma, you're saying Abraham. You follow that? When you say Krishna, you're saying Christ or Messiah. You know, that's all those names represented. We became their God. But then they became idol worshipers. They got the 200 fallen angels, left the land of Persia, which is called Nod, and moved into that land, and they started worshiping them by, because they were fire worshipers. We saw power in that. And then we lost the worship because we stopped knowing. And what is the thing we stopped knowing? We stopped knowing good from bad. That's what it says in Genesis. Now the man has become one of us what? Knowing. That's the only time we knew. What did we discover? In Genesis, we discovered good from bad. We knew good angels from bad angels. Now we don't know good people from bad. We don't know good food from bad. We don't know good music from bad. We don't know anything, and we were the ones who knew everything. And so they put us under a spell. What kind of spell? The spell of ghost worship. You understand? Ghost worship. And they said gospel. Ghost spell. They put us under some ritual. It sounds crazy, but it's called etymology. It's in the sound. Right? They put us under a spell and had us worshiping spirits. And if I didn't worship a spirit, God, what did they call me? They called me atheos. Atheos. If I don't worship a theory, I'm an atheos. And they say atheist. You see, or in Greek, the same thing, Dios, or in Spanish, Dios, or in French, Do. All of these names come out of the same thing, theory. We didn't worship theory because we were Ethereans. The ether, atheist. We were Ethereans, and we were the gaseous people. If you look at the word gaseous, it says that G, which is the ancient language from a G in Hebrew, we say Gemal. In Arabic, you say Jet. Right? Take the word gas and put the Jet there. And what do you get?
Yeah.
Say it. Gases. Say gases.
Yes.
And now Hebrew is Ga. Gemal. Arabic is Ja. Put the Ja where the G is at. Yeah.
Jesus.
Oh. A spirit belief. Because we didn't believe in spirits. We didn't believe in spooks. You know why we didn't believe in spooks? Because that's what they called us. Spooks. We were the spooks. We were the spiritual beings who incarnated on this planet. But when they say God, they're playing a trick on your eyes. Right? When a child reads backwards, what do they say they have? Dyslexia. Right? That means they read backwards. What does the word lexia mean? Lexia means law. Look it up. The word lexia means law. Dyslexia means to go against the law. And they're teaching you to write from left to right, and all the ancient scriptures you'd read from right to left. So now let's go and go against the law and read God from right to left instead of from left to right. What do we read?
Dog.
We read dog. What is the dog? The dog star. Anubis, the ancient jackal of ancient Egypt, the god of the dead. Who are the dead? The Caucasus people. You follow that? The books that they're teaching you is called the Book of the Dead. They tell you it's the New Testament. Yeah, they make a New Testament. What is the New Testament? The Book of John. What is Matthew, Mark, and Luke? Nothing. Who's Mark? Mark is Mark Anthony. And if you look at the books of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and ignore, put John where it belongs first, not last, you'll see that each one of them says in the beginning. The one says in the beginning this happened, the other one says in the beginning that happened. Who's Mark? Mark Anthony. He's the father of Jesus or Zeus. Who did he marry? Cleopatra. Listen now, this is called right knowledge. Right? He married Cleopatra, and because he was of the people who had no color in their skin, they were transparent. They were not sun people. They were moon people of the moon cycle. We were sun people, solar plex people. If all that, we can stand under the sun all day. They can't do it. If they do, the sun will attack them. So he was considered a ghost person. They called him ghost. Ghost is another, just a synonym for the word goat. And that goes back to Capricorn and Nimrod and Jesus and December and the tying of the devil worship and the star and the crescent. The star and the crescent that Muslims use as their symbol, a five-pointed star and the crescent. That crescent, if you look it up, is the word Dina. That's the demon, the female, Dina. And that's what they call their religion, Deen al-Islam. And in the Quran, the last revelation that Allah gave to Muhammad, he said, it's not Deen al-Islam, it's Deen Allah. And they still, after that, called it Deen al-Islam. You saw that? Because their worship is of Dina and the crescent, the moon. So they changed it from the solar calendar to the lunar calendar. The solar is alive. The lunar is dead. So they call the Bible the ancient book of the dead and made people think that Akhenaten, who was a hermaphrodite, technically, right? That he was the one who wrote the Book of the Dead. The Book of the Dead means a book of people that are dead. Who in the New Testament is alive? Nobody. The only one they say is alive, they say is alive in the spirit. And they say that that is Jesus. And Jesus is Cleopatra and Mark Anthony's son. You understand it? Mark Anthony was of the gods. See, because of the spell of Leviathan, when I say Mark Anthony is a god and a wicked man, you think God is good. But if you read God Semitically with dyslexia, God becomes Anubis, the ancient Egyptian god dog that the Greeks came into Egypt to study under us and steal the knowledge and take it back and turn it backwards. They started making us read from left to right instead of from right to left. And they started modernizing, standardizing all the languages. There wasn't no spoken language in Egypt. It was not the same language that Abraham spoke and the same language that Noah spoke. Why? Because when Abraham got to Egypt, he spoke to the Pharaoh. Right? When Moses got to Egypt, he spoke to the Pharaoh. They told us certain things that ain't true. They told us that the serpent was a symbol of the devil. That's not in the Torah. The word nachas in the Torah, where they have serpent, means to whisper. Nachas is kanaf. The serpent was not bad to us when we ruled ancient Mizraim called Egypt. You follow that? And how do you know it? Because it was a serpent of Aaron that consumed the serpent of the Pharaoh. Now, why would Aaron use a wicked being to consume another serpent? Because the ancient Israelites, who we are, that was not a wicked being. And Moses and them marched through Jerusalem with a serpent at the head of them. And all the pharaohs put a serpent on the head, which symbolized medicine and purity. And to this very day, the Kundalini is being used as a sword with two serpents on it that came out of ancient Egypt. That's who we are. We are the ancient Egyptians. But we don't like the word Egyptian because Egyptian means Egyptos or burnt faces. We're not burnt faces. The one that became burnt faces was the Hyksos dynasty, who came into Egypt, who Moses fought against. And Moses' real name is Thutmose, the god of ancient Egypt. When you say Thutmose, you're saying Moses. And the Hyksos dynasty of light-skinned people came in and warred against us.
over there, and they became burnt faces because they came in from Greece. They came in from what they call the three points, and that was Spain, Rome, and Greece. Those were the three families, the Spartans, the Franks, the Hittites, and the Anglicans, who moved in the Mediterranean area. And when they moved into our motherland, their skin became burnt. So they called them Egyptians. We were not called Egyptians. We were called Mitzrayim, those people of the two rivers. And those two rivers are the ones that lead down into a place called what? Huh? Aswan. Pass Aswan down where? Past Sudan and down into what? Past Nubia and down into where? Huh? Say it louder. Ethiopia. Ether people. We are the Ether people, the Ethiopians, the Kusia. They called us in ancient times. We inherited the name Sudan to identify that we were not the burnt face people, but we were the original seed. We inherited the name Aswan to identify we were not burnt black, that we were original black, that we had the nine ether. You understand? And with the nine ethers is the texture of your hair. But your hair comes out the follicles and creates a number nine. His hair comes out the follicles and creates a number six. And nine to the ninth power of nine is the highest number on the universe, which makes us infinite. That is our number. You follow that? So we were the gods. So when I say gods now, you gotta keep it. Dyslexia. But if you don't, you'll end up dog. So when I say Mark Anthony was a god, and Mark Anthony came into Egypt and had sex with Cleopatra, and then brought in their religion, and their religion was the worship of the cat. You understand that? They had what's called a holy cat, and they built a monument in Egypt for the holy cat. And the monument of the symbol in Egypt for the holy cat, you call it Sphinx. It's not one of our symbols. Now, if you take holy cat and put it in a dyslexia state, you'll get Catholic. Catholic, cat, holistic. And now they can't teach you Christianity, so now they're bringing in what they call holistic sciences. The New World Order, because people have fallen away from Krishna worship, which is Christianity. We saw through that. We're starting to rise back up again. The moment we stop comping our hair and pressing our hair and putting our feet on the grass again, things are going to start opening. We lost our eye and our light is dim. Blow on your hand with wind like this, with your breath. What do you feel?
Heat.
Why do you feel heat? Huh? No, not because of the temperature. Because of ether. Ether is a gas. You understand that? What do we breathe in? What do we give off? What does it take for fire to burn? Oxygen. What does it give off? Carbon. The devil is never going to tell you, the etheric people, or original Ethiopian pygmies, that there's a light burning inside me and you. A real fire burning right inside our chest. Your scientist is not going to admit it. He'll tell it to you when he teaches you about the circulatory system and the respiratory system. He tells you how the blood fuses into the lungs and it's charged and it sends up gases to the brain. He'll tell you that. But he doesn't tell you that when you ignite blood, it ignites into a flame. That's why they said the light shines in the darkness, but the dark comprehends is not. Ooh. And the light is the light in man. We have a lit sun inside of us. If you see you after a full game of basketball and step back, you'll see the heat waves coming out of your body. The same way it comes out of the earth. That's why they said he created two lights. The greater light and the lesser light. Ooh. And the greater light was Ra there. And the reason why we acknowledge and respect the Ra is because Ra meant to see. Ra'a. It didn't mean sun. The word for sun in ancient Egyptian was Shamsa. And that meant mushmish, illumination. It represented the sea because then there was no electricity. So when the sun appeared to rise, because it doesn't rise, that's when we started building. So we look forward for the rising of the sun. The Babylonians did this. They made us hate the rising of the sun. By telling us, make sure you don't make fudge while the sun is rising. That's because we were sun people. People trying to get away from the sun made us start hating the sun. How'd they make you hate your hair? No, by telling you to pick cotton. That's right. There was a million things in this country that slaves could have did. It's not amber waves of cotton, it's amber waves of grain. Why'd they have us picking cotton? because it made us hate the texture of our hair. And that's the first thing everybody here did. Comb their hair, brush their hair, straighten their hair, perm their hair, process their hair, jerry their hair, anything to make your hair straight. You know what you do? You take a piece of hair and take a match and come down there. And know what you see? Before the fire touches the hair, it curls. It forms a nine. The nine ether. When they make you start pulling your hair out, they make you cut off the flow of the energy around here. That's what the processing and the straightening is. Name another people on earth with nappy hair. They call it kinky. I call it kingly. Now he's getting ready to start teaching y'all Egyptology. So he's going to breed people like Dr. Ben and Dr. Clark and them, and these are demons.
When you go to Egypt, at a temple called Edfu, it's called the Temple of Heru, the Elder, or Horus the Elder, at the place called Edfu, you see in life-size drawings, and dig into the wall, the drama of Heru revenging his father Ataru or Osiris death by killing his uncle the Typhon. We could go now to the temple of Aset, which they call Isis, at the island of Philae, and see the beginning of this story. Now all these temples I'm telling you exist. This is no fairy tale. The story, if the story is a fairy tale, that may be. But the fact that the story is still there, written in the wall, that is no fairy tale, because anybody could go and still see the story. Not only written in letters, but drawn and cut in the wall.
Does anybody that knows the box of Pandora in ancient Egypt know that there was a million gods for each dynasty? Every time a dynasty came, there was a new bunch of gods. So now what will happen to us as a people if we open that box? We got so many gods, there'll be a group over here saying we follow the Hyksos dynasty, this will be the Ramses dynasty, this will be the so-and-so dynasty, and then we'll have the same problem we have now. It's called the Catholics, and then the protesters against the Catholics become the Protestants, and then the evangelists who's going to spread what they protested about became evangelists, and then those who were waiting for the 50th Jubilee became the Pentecostals, and then there was those that bore witness that the name was not God, but Jehovah, and they became Jehovah's Witnesses, and then there was those who said, well, we have to keep the Sabbath, and that happens on the seventh day, not the sixth day, and they became 7 day, and they're going to advance with this new idea, 7 day Adventist, and they started breaking us up, and what happened? When you go in our neighborhood, you find that all of us were the ones all confused. You got some black Jehovah's Witness knocking on your door, and you're a Baptist, and you're like, God, listen, I'm a Baptist, I ain't into the Jehovah's Witness stuff, or well, I'm a seven-day Adventist, I don't want to hear this stuff. Divided, they cut us to pieces. Now they're getting ready to do it again because they see that you've gotten fed up with that spook god, because you are the spook that sits behind the door. You are the spirit. You are the god. You are that thing. Don't let them. The only ones that know is the Native Americans. They're the only ones that keep in tune. Didn't y'all see that big eagle flying over there?
Yeah.
A little while ago. And when you see an eagle fly over, that's a sign of the great soul sending his gift to you, that something great is happening. And you know what's great is happening? Not me being here. You being here.
Because I was always here. You're the one that had to be awoken. And now that the light is coming back to y'all, nobody can push Christ on you. Next time somebody tells you about Jesus, you're going to say which one? Jesus the gas or Jesus the man? You mean Jesus the spirit? Because when they speak about Holy Ghost, that's one church. And the Holy Ghost church don't have statues. They believe in the gas. And the other church believes in statues. They believe in the man. Both of them are confused. When the Nation of Islam came on the scene, what they coming with? They came back in with the man worship. That was nearer to what we were. What was the man that we worship? Ourselves. And that's why the Nation of Islam's original doctrine said, the Asiatic black man, maker, owner, cream of the planet, earth, father, civilization, and God of humans. Then they started saying, Master Farah Muhammad.
Give thanks to Almighty God Allah, who came in the person of Master Farah Muhammad.
Well, if you love Master Farah Muhammad so much, why don't you show us this picture? Why don't you have his picture up on Savior's Day? Why don't you have his picture on the front page of the... Because if God came to me in person and taught me to teach you, then if I had a newspaper, I'd have his picture right on the front of that paper. What are you afraid of?
Right.
I'll tell you what you're afraid of. We'll see that he ain't nine either. He ain't got that kingly hair, that he ain't royal. That he ain't a god. He ain't an Ethiopian, and he ain't a pygmy nor a Watusi. Of course, we vary in heights now because of the marriaging, but we are originally pygmies and Watusis, which lived in Ethiopia. They called it little people. That's right. That was Eve. And Adam was Watusi. And those two tribes, still today, the Watusis are ruling the pygmies to this very day. That's Lucy. They say, oh, she only stood about 4 feet tall. Why they say Lucy and give her a female name? How they know she was a female?
The oldest near-complete fossil of a hominid form is Lucy, who's thought to be nearly 3.5 million years old. The bone structure shows that Lucy walked upright on two legs like us, and not like an ape. Lucy and her kind, the Australopithecines, died out sometime during the first ice age.
They knew that by the height, that ancient finding was Lucy, and they put her in Eve's family. They knew that Java was Javan, the son of Japheth, and that was Greek, and that was Amorites. And they said, well, they come up in the Caucasian. We got European writings on the wall for them. All of this is to keep you from knowing that you are the Elohim. You're not Elo. You are the Elohim. If you read the scripture close, you'll see that Elo created the Elohim. How? Because he created you in his image. And when you became more than one, you became a plural. So it went from Elo to Elohim. And then what? The devil is created in your image and after your likeness. You follow that? But you are the people of that, the sun. The more sun you get, the stronger you become. They pushed us out of the south and made us move to the north. They knew when we got to the north, there'd be no igniting of the sun. See, they have a hole up here. When your baby's born right up in the top of your head, it's soft. You can see it beating. Right? And the first thing the Arabs say, well, you better do this. You better have him put a cap on that head. Every time I see a new baby with a cap on, people tell you, I say, take the hat off me. Every time I see a little girl with her head wrapped up, I tell the parents, take the covering off the head. They say, well, what about our religion? I say, religion is faith. What about the facts, the sun, the energy, that light got to keep burning? The moment the light goes out, what happens to the human body? And what does it become? Cold. And what does that mean? The absence of heat. What does that mean? The absence of the fire. The ether is going out. Now, alcohol is ether, or ethyl, right? If I lit a fire and poured some alcohol on it, what would happen? It'll flame up. What happens when you drink alcohol? You get this strange heat inside, and then you start getting all warmed up and start perspiring. What happens when you get mad? You say, I'm getting hot. Right? What the Quran refers to that is Narin Samun. They call it a smokeless fire. We created man from a light, and the light is a fire. It's one of the two lights. Get it done?
I hope you understand.
You're going to work that money is green, right? I want you to know what is that in Hebrew?
Olum.
Olum.
Same thing.
Olum.
The only they would spell it O-L-U-M.
Olum.
And that's one of the names of the Most High again. In the Torah, you find El Olum. It means the same thing. The universe. And that's one of my names. You see what happens? It means the universe. When the meteorites hit the planet Earth 17,250,000 years ago, right? That's when we were walking as Elohim or Jebra'in, and we had the pole was strict with the Hindus. That's what their religion. Hinduism is Satanicism. And Hinduism bred Christianity and all these other religions. You look at Hinduism, Christ, Krishna, same word. You know, you can see all their rituals came, Brahma, Abraham, they just eased it in on us the same way Enoch did. Right? When the meteorite hit, it killed the dinosaurs. Historical fact. Men that knew how to live behind waterfalls survived. We went and lived behind waterfalls in caves, and in there oxygen was there. Other Amorites went in other directions and died. People got buried under the sand. We came back out and started to replenish the earth, and the two tribes met. The two tribes being presently known, Watusi and Pygmy, and the chiefs of those two tribes got together and formed a council called the Elohim, right? Which meant those who worked for Elo. And their job was to refill the earth and replenish the earth. They would call themselves the spirits of Elohim. You follow that? Then we knew. Now we know nothing. Somebody took away our ability to know. Because if you look now at yourself as an individual and ask yourself, what do you really know? You don't know anything. You don't even know you're here. And if you know you're here, you don't even know where here is. All you know is this is the Catskills because they said it's the Catskills. This is liberty because they said it's liberty. They say today is Friday. Right? Mm-hmm. They told us that. How do we know? And Friday is one of the names of their gods. Everything they did, they put name, but it didn't say that. It said Adam. Whatever Adam named a thing, that was his name. That's when we knew. What happened to us? We have a case of amnesia. You understand that? As a divine being, spiritual being, we have a case of amnesia. We don't know who we are. And we open the white man's book, he says, oh, you mean Negroes? Oh, Puerto Ricans? Oh, Haitians? Oh, Trinidadians? Oh, Panamanians? He keeps on giving us names of where we're at. He did that to another angel also. He did it to the angel Elijah. He didn't know where Elijah came from because he didn't have a mother or father and didn't want to tell you about man incarnating on the planet Earth. So he said he's a Tishbite. And then they tried to look up Tishbite, it became a place. They thought about Melchizedek. They didn't know what he was, where he came from. He said he had neither mother nor father, no beginning of that. We don't know who he is, but he had to be a man. You follow that? Because they cannot deal with the fact that we are incarnations. Incarnate means we came from someplace else. The star Sirius out there that they talk about in the Beta star constellation is where we're looking up.
During the early part of the year, January to April, Sirius is the brightest star in the sky. The pagan Arabs worshipped it as a divinity. The fact that it is called the dog star sends back to the ancient Egyptian god Anubis. The word god spelled backwards is dog, who the pale man worships as his deity. Also, dog is man's best friend. However, the true gods are Elohim.
Why are you looking up in prayer? Tell me, where's hell? Who taught you hell was downstairs? Well, let me tell you about a confession and teaching you about hell. In order for me to teach you that there's a hell beneath us and that beings are down there, let's make the club and not fill the club with people. Let's make hell the name of a club. And let's not put any people in there and not put no music on. The first thing we have is a place. And that place will be called hell. Right? And the place is able to be occupied by beings. Good or bad, up or down, I don't care. I'm just talking about the place. And if I teach you there's a place called hell that people can burn in or people will be in, I'm teaching you that there is a place called hell. You with me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm confessing to something. And if I say hell is down beneath me, then I'm telling you that there's a vacant place down beneath me where some people are going to be. Those people are going to burn. They say, that's going to be hell. Up and above the fact that that's going to be hell and people are going to burn, I'm confessing that there is a place beneath you where people will go. So in the Bible, when they teach you about hell, they're teaching you about the center of the earth. But the difference is the devil is saying that hell, because it is to him. You see? And he made you think you don't want to go down there. You don't want to go to Shambhala. You don't want to go to Agrita. But in that lesson of hell, Jesus was down in hell and came out in the bosom of Abraham. In that lesson, he's admitting that there is some place beneath us.
they call it Hades, beneath us. What is the confession then?
That there's an inner world.
He made it hell.
You understand what I'm saying?
Every Christian preacher that gets up and teaches you about hell is teaching you about an inner world beneath us.
Think about it.
Whose world is it then?
Well, what does he call us? The devil.
He calls us the devil.
He says niggas will give you hell.
Don't want them in your neighborhood. Wherever Negroes gather, there's heat. Niggas draw heat. Right? What they say about us in the Bible, wild ass of a man. We gave everybody hell. Nobody wants to live with us. We don't want to live with each other. So maybe what he's calling hell is our neighborhood. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we must be the inhabitants of the center of the earth. So when the flood came, many of us who knew where to go. So we knew to go in the earth and down to the center of the earth and there wait for the flood to subside and come to surface again and rebuild the earth. Do you understand that? And he came out of a sickness in us, a disease. And that disease manifests itself in what's called leproma or leprosy. You follow that? And now he has us loving the image of illness, of sickness and disease. We love his image. You understand? If someone is light and straight hair, they're pretty. Someone is dark with kinky hair or kingly hair, automatically they gotta be ugly. And even if you stand there and pretend that you ain't fascinated by them white women they put on the videos, you're lying. You can lie if you want, but who you lying to? You're lying to Elohim. And that's the person you can't fool. They put light-skinned girls on television, we think they're pretty. Correct? It's gonna take some serious cleansing to get us back to 9 Ether, to get us back into the science of ourselves, of what beauty really is. He made beauty his image. And that is the image of the beast. It says it right in Revelation. So they took and made an image of Zeus, the god, right? And you see Zeus with a long hair and a beard. And then they made a Jesus and gave him long hair and beard. And he's the image that made you love him. Love Jesus and love his mother. Who's Jesus' mother? Dinah. Again, Cleopatra, Dinah, the god they worship. They always had women up above everything they worshiped. That's why the ship was called She. You understand? New cars called She. They hold their gun up and say, well, she really performed for me. And then they had Mary and Jesus. They couldn't be certified with God. They had to have a mother of God. Who did that? The cat worshiping. So they made synonymous with witchcraft. The cat. Who they give it to? The woman.
Made it black.
And made it black. See, I tell you, and you might not want to accept it, I tell you, give them back black. Let them have black. Why? Because of what they made black mean. And as long as we're in this country and living under his definitions, we're going to get his definitions of black in our subconscious mind. He made black bad. He made it negative. So what does it mean for us to give up the English word black? I couldn't get everybody to say Nubian. Take it too long. Because if they would have said Nubian, we could stop saying black. Because Nubian is not really the color black. Nubian is really us. And I don't see nobody here black. I see some dark-skinned people, but ain't nobody here black. When you look in the mirror, you see brown. You see beige. We're light-skinned, dark, all the colors of all of the rainbow in every flower. And when they speak about the Almighty's creation and his color, what color is he? Don't say black. See, the Sunni Muslims again said Allah is the light. Correct? How can Allah be the light if he created the light? And in Genesis it said, let there be. But that was not the sun yet. The sun wasn't created after that. So if the Almighty said, let there be light, what state was he in? Darkness. But they made darkness bad. It's a cloudy day. Swarty. Shadow. Now Dracula got a black suit on. He only moves at night, which is no such word as night. It's called shadow.
Stop saying night. There's no night. It's shadows. The sun never stops shining. It's just on the other side of the planet. We're in a shadow state. Start saying the shadow state and have many people ask you, what do you mean by that? And say, a sun never stops shining because the sun is nine ether. Nine to the ninth power of nine. I don't know if you understand that. Mathematicians might know what I'm talking about. So they made you hate the very state that the Almighty was in, dark. And made you hate yourself because you're dark. You follow that? And then in that darkness, he created the light. That don't mean light bad. He utilized the light. You follow that? Because he said, out of darkness, he created light. And the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the surface of the waters, or of Yahuwah. You see that? There was void and darkness upon the face of the deep. You see that? It was without shape and form. It was unseeable, undetectable. There was no Amun-Ra. But when Amun-Ra manifested, we were able to see, and we had faith, and that's what we had faith in, Elo. Not faith in subjects, not faith in how we pray, not faith in how many times to make, how many rak'ahs, or how many days to fast in the month of Ramadan. Now that's the wrong faith. The only thing you have faith in is the Almighty. Mm-hmm. Everything else has to be fact and right knowledge, or it is ignorance. Faith is ignorance if it's any faith other than faith in the Most High. Why? Because the word ignorance merely means to ignore the facts. Ignorance, ignore. I want to know, because when I knew, I was like him. Back to Genesis, now the man is like one of us. He knows good from evil. Means he knows how to make decisions. How come we don't know how to make decisions no more? And if we don't know how to make decisions no more, then we don't know. If we don't know, then we're no longer in the image of the Elo, so we're no longer Elohim. We become worshipers of what everybody else is worshiping. They open the book of Revelations and it describes Jesus. Hair like lamb's wool and feet like burnt grass, and they worship Jesus, but they don't worship the image of Jesus, because the image of Jesus would be dark with kinky hair, an Ethiopian, an etheric person. So subliminally, they're worshiping you. And if you get an Amorite corner, they'll tell you, I know who you are. They won't tell you what they won't say it. They'll say, but I know who you are. I know what you are. You don't know. He's really telling you, I know you're my God. I know I was created in your image and after your likeness. No, ain't no black scientist sat in his uncle's yard with two magnets and found out no unalike attracted no like. First of all, magnets don't grow in gardens. And any metal that you find is magnetized has to be electrified to be magnetized. And whoever had that knowledge had more knowledge than Yaqub. Whoever magnetized the two magnets had the knowledge, and I was supposed to be the uncle. If all that, he, while some of them found out the unalike attracted the light, and then said, from that, I'm going to make a devil weak and wicked to give the power to rule the world for 6,000 years after finding two magnets. What kind of knowledge is that? That's not right knowledge. That's faith. I'm not trying to step on nobody's toes. I'm trying to step on their head. Because we only got 8 more days. You know, we're coming down to the last days of school. We don't need no more of this faith stuff. What is faith? What is this belief thing? Faith and belief is a thing that you can't see. Y'all better wake up.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time.
There'll come a time
when the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow. No.
Bells won't be ringing.
The bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save the world.
To save the world.
I
that's destined.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world.
When I look at the world.
It fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Children today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow. Oh,
what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to
such
live.
Such a bad way to live.
Who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
When we can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
Live.
Live for life.
But let live, everybody.
Live life for the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
See?
Oh,
let's save all the children.
Save the babies. Save the babies. And if you want them, you got them. Save the babies. Oh, let me see them. You will save the babies. All of the children.
Tapes, Inflammation versus Misformation, were recorded from classes given this year by Dr. Malachi Zayork, known to us as the Supreme Grandmaster Naya Malachi Zodok El, our own Pharaoh, Amenubi Ruakatar. And now, listen with an open mind and heart as our Grandmaster inflames you with only the truth. Allow your inner light to flow again and stomp out misformation with only the facts. And now, listen to the Supreme Grandmaster, Naya Malachi Zodok El.
This is where the map from?
Yeah, who
channeled it? No, I don't see it. Oh, yes, me?
Yeah.
Oh, a Shoshone woman came to class. She had called the Shoshone sister here, Pastor Korea, and said, I have something for you. And this was about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, something like that. All right? And what she did was gave her a photostat copy of the map. And when we got the map, we couldn't find it. The photostat copy, not as clear as we'd like to be. So we've been trying to find it and finally found the map. To her, to another Native American, in fact, came out, right, from off the road. And so that's how we got this here copy. And we waited for that for the whole 3 weeks. And we found that about 2 weeks ago, something like that. And that's how we got it. Who wrote the master?
Yeah, we made it up.
This cool, the original one? A young girl, they said. They had, I want to explain it on here. The young girl challenged. For thousands of years, the spiritually enlightened of many cultures have told of a time when the earth would go through a great change in its structure. Changes that would affect every aspect of culture. Most of these predictions gave the end of this century as a time period for the events. The time changes is now. The forces within the earth have been in the property for several years and are already manifesting themselves around the globe in many ways. The following information is the most detailed yet given about the changes in America. We wish to share this knowledge so you may start preparing yourself spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Yes. Emotionally and physically. Our personal reaction to changes in our lives is a matter of perception.
Anyway, talk about a little girl having a vision. And she called full of thankful, her uncle. And he contacted Madame Blackovetsky. And Madame Blackovetsky contacted Moya Kostumi, the Tripa, and Saint Germain. And they all met with the girl to see if she was a phony. They were all warlocks and stuff. Right. To see if the girl was a phony. And the Native Americans who this girl was born amongst, right? Start with these so-called Madame Blackovetsky, Kostumi, Moya, and Saint Germain. And the girl's visions, they lost, and had somebody lost it, right? And she did one for America, for Australia, for Europe, in place. Of course, our primary concern would be here in the world. We're trying to get one for London, send them, and our group in Australia will send with them. So that's how I came here.
Is that the same matter of
the
Guru Society?
Of the Guru? Yes, of the Tula. Tula Society, Madame Blackovetsky? Don't think that the witches and warlocks are not clocking the time too, because they're more in tune with the Christians than the Jews, because they believe in nature. Most people don't know that witches and warlocks, they believe in nature worshipers, so they're about when the moon comes, when the sun comes, they have all that kind of stuff too. So they have these conflicts. Don't think, you know, because they chose the Luciferian order to worship, that they don't know things. Don't make us not know it with being right. They know. You know, them Jim Warren, they got challenges. They be doing stuff. Yes.
Yeah. I remember reading one of the old bulletins about a wheat comes from Wicca. The Wicca had something to do with witches.
Wicca.
Can you break that down? I never really understood.
It's just that they used to have all of their rituals in wheat fields, and they referred to it as Wicca. From that, and they used to make baskets calling for Wicca. The whole concept of Wicca first has to do with witches. Weaving Wicca, that was a ritual in Vermont, yeah. But I'm putting all that Wicca from. You look over there like, I told you don't get that Wicca from. They all fall apart anyway.
I was looking at it prior, because I know I told the dad was a week coming for weeks, so I didn't know. I knew that they did.
Well, you know, the game is Latin, French, Old English, New English, and Greek. Those people got together and took a monopoly on all intelligence that seemed to do the whole universe. Or not universe, on the planet. Which means whenever you say anything, somebody always says, what does that mean? And they gotta go back to Latin, Greek, or English, or Old English for a terminology. They've got you literally mentally trapped in a vacuum of information that they control. And whenever anybody asks you anything, you know what they say, what does it mean? You have to go back and say, well, in Latin or in Greek, that has to be broken again. They have that's what's going out. Their era is going out. But people start defining things the way they see them and not the way the American Heritage Dictionary sees them. But when you write a book and you're dealing with people, if I don't put the American Heritage Dictionary interpretation of it, niggas just won't believe it. That's how far in the hell they are. But we got to work with that. It's a shame. Because we have to use the word Egypt. The word Egypt should not be used. But we have to use Egypt, otherwise people would not have no idea what we're talking about. You know?
Sir.
Can you speak about the land that's in the process of being purchased? Does that have something to do with the area of the vortex?
No. No. If you saw Stargate, you saw that the craft came down. Mm-hmm. And coming right on top of it like this, right?
Yeah.
What people are missing is that the misinterpretation of the Kaaba is that if I took this Kaaba and stuck it in the ground, I would get this. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Yeah.
Am I going right?
Yeah.
That would go right.
Everybody took a cue, any cue, a perfect cue, and slammed it in the ground, I'd get a collar. And that's what this is. The symbol. If I move this together and remove the globe, this would change from two pyramids up and right into a perfect cue. The temple was in Mecca, right, was once the navel of the earth. And it symbolized Isis, who the Muslims call Usir, right, or El Usa. That was her temple, not the tetrahedron and a pyramid on top. We four tetrahedrons, right, and one pyramid. It represents the this as a square zone put into the ground. You follow? So when you hear about Nibiru, you talk about an orb, but you're looking at a cube. Nibiru is a cube that when it begins to rotate, again, if I go all the sense of beating points that it didn't start yet, you understand, once it starts to rotate, creates a orb. Once it slows up, it's no longer an orb, it's a cube. And once it lands, it projects a point of itself into the ground and beneath the ground. Right? Of course, it can't do that here, because this planet is too small. But it'll send out other craft that look like cubes and orbs, you follow? And they will come and project themselves into the ground and connect with energies beneath the ground. Mm-hmm. And then all you will see above it is a bunch of pyramid.
Yeah, I was doing a little bit of research on Akhenaten, and it spoke about how they changed the origin of, like, when you tell, how do you say it, obelisk.
Mm-hmm.
Where he wanted to change it or put it somewhere else, that's why he went and started his temple into, like, a definite area and wouldn't nobody follow him because he was just uninhabitable. What's that got to do with the truth? Would he be right? Would he be wrong?
Is it related to this? Yes, in a sense. When you start talking about Akhenaten and his desire to move the obelisk, you're talking about, you know, obelisk is a symbol of a penis,
mm-hmm.
of the god Men. All right. And Men took himself in hand. In the beginning of the verse, if I took himself in hand, took his hand. All right. And he spurt forth. And what he spurred forth was a sperm cell as the original tadpole that went into the sea and came out of the primordial egg later and went to the sky as a rocket and gave birth to the sun. These are symbolic stories. All right. So now Akhenaten, right, was a hermaphrodite. Before that, he was a homosexual, for lack of a better word. All right. And he was intimidated by the obelisk symbol of a Venus and decided that it should be moved from his kingdom. The people would not let him destroy it, but move it from his kingdom. Why? Because of what took place in what they call the Amun temple. That's why he changed it from Amun to Akhenaten. What took place in the Amun temple is that the priest, when you speak about the priest of Amun, they had two levels of priests. Those priests that were sacred priests, not to be mistaken with our sacred brothers in any kind of way. There's another level, they wore white, not black. They wore white. You follow that? They shaved all the hair off their body, all the hair off their face, no hair on their body at all, relating to primal man before he had mixed in with creatures who had hair, so you have it here. All right, Men was depicted as a large stature, right, holding his penis in his with his right hand and a frill in his left hand, which is a whip, like a rod and a staff of the 23rd Psalm. While in the inner chamber behind the pylon, there was a sacred chamber called the Holy of Holies, where the Christians get it from. And in there, he stood as a statue. Now, before he became a statue, it was a real event where his wife was referred to as a hand of God. You understand that? His wife, Nefertiti, was referred to as the hand of God. And he would be there in a sacred robe with a hole cut in the front. You understand? And you heard it before, Benjamin the Melanoma. Right? And he would stand with his hands in his thighs, right? And his wife would come in, and she would have to erect him, have him have an erection, upon which he would be laying back on a, they show him, he would be laying, first he's standing straight, right? Let's say this this way. And yes, and his wife would come in, kneel on an altar before him, and it was her job to bring him to an erection. We all know him. If you want to know the story, I'll tell you the story. All right, she would bring him to an erection, upon which he'd make a full circle and end up on his back and lay on a pillow-like thing in a temple, which would mean laying here, correct? And his penis is there. You may see this in some of the stories they show nuts up over the sky and on a ground lane with his penis moving rested. They have statues of it carved, so you can find it. And what would happen is he would spread his legs, penis is erected, he's laying this way. His wife would leave the temple with the high priestess women after he's erected, and they had these priests. It would straddle his penis. You can follow what I'm saying? This is part of their one of their rituals. It doesn't mean every ritual that you make in Egypt is part of our rituals. You follow what I'm saying? It was straddled. They had a whole bunch of priests that went into the sacred chamber, right? And this is how they vowed loyalty to the great god Amun. You follow what I'm saying? They didn't look at it the way we now get as homosexual, or they didn't see it that way. They looked at it as a covenant that he became, that when he ejaculated or whatever, they became a part of him, and they left there as God. And all went off in a sacred ritual, performing the same ritual. Who was just Uncle Uncle's father, he was against this ritual, like you fired me. He was against this ritual because he suffered from penis illness, being born and hermaphrodite and having, you know, part of his sexual organs inside and part of his sexual organs outside, like most are born. And he didn't have the medicine today that Daniel had done, so he looked like a female or whatever. Alright, so he wanted to cut this ritual off. And that ritual was always symbolic of that, and that's why it was kept. The obelisk became the, look at this now. If you look at this, you're looking at the mirror of Islam, which is a circumcised penis. You follow that? The only ones that, kept the symbol the way it was in ancient times was Moroccan. And that's why the Moors, and that's why their mirrors are still square like an obelisk. If you look at Moroccan minerals, right, they have square minerals. But in the other part of the Islamic country, set up circular minerals. Now, in praise of Nefertiti, I'm saying it like that earnestly, right, he started a dome temple. You getting that?
Yeah.
Would become the dome next to the minaret and becomes the mammary gland or the breast of his wife. So all of the churches now have put the dome or the dome shape on their windows, which is a penis symbol of ancient Egypt, in front of your face. The rituals are still going on in high mass. This is why in the Catholic churches, those ministers never really, or pastors or fathers, never really get prosecuted for having sex with the young boys, because they're reenacting the ritual and the hat. It's right there, in front of everybody, the fish head. And if you look at a fish, most women would say they will cook. You turn a fish backwards and look at the way his face is constructed, a fish looks like this. And then he comes down to the form. This is a what? A penis. This is what it all relates to. All this, everything, I will get to the bottom line of this if you like this minute. So you don't walk out of here and determine what I'm saying. Like, this guy wants to do over there. Turn this thing around. I fought all of you, John. I'll do it. I'll say this little story. This is the principle. Those are the three principles of existence. Women try to think outside of three principles. Meaning, give me something that doesn't pertain to one of those principles. Mm-hmm. Amen? Come on, Story, give me it. Come on, help me here.
Immortality.
Immortality, there's no such thing. Because of the word mortal. You see, the word mortal for mortal, existing stuff. Everything changes. There's really no such word. That's what Christian terminology. Immortality.
Fair.
Dancing sex. The whole purpose of any club or any party is for men and women, because way back in ancient Africa, what they would do is they would have, when a woman reached the sex age, which is 12, right, they would have fertility dances. And the women would come out and do dances, and they throw their breasts, and they, you saw them on the stage doing stage today, with you back there playing them drums. And your wife was dancing around, you start to say, hey, wait. She's overdoing it out there. You start wanting to say, you ain't had no owner before. You're supposed to be that for me behind closed doors. You know what I'm saying? But if you think about African dancing, which predates all other dancing, quite so you know that, all of it is about showing the breast, showing the butt, showing the legs, and, you know, a bunch of everything is the leg muscles. And so the men would sit there, bang on the drums, and get hot. And then they would pick their wives from that. So today we have modernized it, and we don't play the drum no more. We cut the disc. We stop doing it. Now we're cutting and mixing. And it's the same thing, and the brother who's doing the cutting just happened to be a damn good drummer. What is a heck of a coincidence, right? Yeah. And I was there, all the young boys go, they don't even know how to use their hand. They thought it must be good. Now, they were probably the African drummers of our tribe, and they couldn't find a way to express it. So it's all cutting, right?
Yeah.
Cutting, so they are scratching. So they start scratching in these calorithms. And girls start dancing. They go away from bus stopping to freestyle. What is freestyle? But African dance with a whole bunch of body language. Correct? What is that? A sexual attraction. A man can go to a club now and get stimulated just by standing there. Now it's the way women dress again. With G-strings and rump shaking and stuff, I mean, you don't even have to get married no more. I mean, you can just spend your life in a club. It's all dancing. The purpose of going to party. Your wife wants to go to a party. She wants to go see men. What do you want to share? She says, no, I just want to go home. I just want to go have fun. We can do that at home. I just want to listen to music. Want to put it right away on that? Every time people want to go out into a place where there's a lot of people to dance, they're going to meet people. It's a mating game. So when I ask you a question, dancing, sex, dancing, wealth. Because when you go to the dance, you got to be sharp. That costs. If you go to the dance, you got to travel. That costs. If you pull up in front of the dance with a Jaguar, you get more attention. If you pull up in front of the dance and you're real sharp and you got money, you get a little more attention. If you put up on a dance, spin a jazz while you're real sharp, got money, and can dance, you're going home with somebody. That's sex. These are the principles that's messing up everything. It's controlling our every motive and every awakening moment. These are the things in our mind. Now, why sex is at the top? Because regardless of which one of these here you do, you're still going to go there. And death is life, because the day you were born, you started dying, not living. They lied to you and told you you are living. You are not living, you are dying. You are getting older. In the last cycle, when you went in the other direction, that's when you were living, because you were born old and you went towards youth. Now you are born young and you're going towards death. So if you're going towards death with the IMG, then you're not living, you are dying. Wait, Pastor Mouse. It doesn't go yet. Huh? You have to study to come. You do. Even if you have to study how to sell drugs, how to cut drugs, you still got to study. Yeah.
I have a question about that. Is that another form of a sale, like person places
in the same? It's another trap. It falls within person places and things also. Another trap.
That's right.
It's another mental trap. We all here are caught up in this. You know what I'm saying? We call, we'll say freedom, justice, and equality. And then somebody said, for what purpose? Just to be free? Free to do what? To do what I want to do, which falls back in here. You know, have you ever met a man, except for homosexual, who's not interested in finding a woman to have sex with? Have you ever met a woman who's not a lesbian or whatever, who's not interested in finding a man to have sex with? Have you ever met a man or woman that somewhere within a day sex doesn't come on their mind? Because it doesn't take much for you to have sex on your mind. You can be just there minding your own business and sex can walk by. And take total control of your mind for the moment. Now, whether or not you take control of it is the question to ask. But while when she walked by with that skirt on, or she got that look in her eye, or she looked at me, I know she's looking at me because she walked me. That's all it takes, right? So we are basically controlled by these forces. You will never put on that glass, ever be able to control those forces? No. Because that's part of what you are. That's missing. You need to aspire. You know what I'm saying? If you don't have things to aspire for, then you're dead. So you aspire to live better, to get more wealth, and to get more. Before you plan something. Yes. Before what? Okay. That's a doctrine. No, that is a doctrine. See, there's a doctrine. We can say in our doctrine that such the sole purpose for sex is reproduction. You follow? The sole purpose for eating is health. Then why are we picking out what we want? And why do we never eat what's healthy? And why do we not go around finding out which girl is the most fertile before we sleep? We don't sit around and say, well, my mother has six kids, or good kids, she has this. We look and say, pick, she fits. We have all these other reasons. So that's a doctrine, not a reality. You understand? Though the doctrine might be true, it has still not remained the reality.
Can we make it reality?
Can you? Yes, you can.
This is another triad. Is this something that you like in right now it's thrown off the Sabbath? You said that the people of the sun cast out the being that technically made 3,000 years ago. That's something that it says that in the Glasgow Federation we can request that also happen.
You lost me. You got so deep, you lost me.
Okay, it said, you were saying how there's another triad.
This is another triad in answer to a question, yes.
Alright, and the biggest man, it's going down how the people of the sun had asked for, had the biggest man cast out 17,260,000 years of the flood. That's something that we have to do all of it.
Is this because we have to cast out ourselves?
Yes.
Huh? Yes. No, because there's nothing filthy, wrong, and dirty about having sex. See, well, we have created the doctrine that they make it bad. We have created the situation. It is a bad situation that we created. It's called mine. Mine, that's my possession.
Right.
It's called mine. And by that I mean, is anybody here a couple? A young couple. This is he, and this is she. These are two beings, homo sapiens, as they might call them, right? Intelligent beings, right? Who are on this planet with me, and they have taken a vow to one another to become one. In that vow to become one, he has literally castrated himself. And she has passed up her vagina to all except him. In some days, this is called loyalty. It's called what else?
Monogamy.
Okay, it's next word. Monogamy. What else?
Devotion.
What else?
Faithfulness.
What else? Huh?
Trust.
stupidity. because this is the sad part. If she was the only woman he ever had, and he was the only woman she ever had, and they have a little bond, correct? Then she or he doesn't know how good it could be somewhere else. But we have been trapped now within inside these terminologies, or as I tell the other young brother, within these doctrines of loyalty, honesty, faithfulness, so-so, and cut off ourselves from the rest of the animal kingdom who do not live by these rules and regulations. And we are a member of the animal kingdom when we're biting on a chicken's leg. But when it comes down to this specific incident as an animal, we immediately write a new book called the Book of Mind. Not the mind book. The mind book. That is mine, right? She's yours. I'm going to say mine is yours, right? And he is yours. So now, if you come home and you find her in the bed with somebody else, your mind is, that's mine. Is that right or wrong? And then violence speaks or defense, or you can say, I don't care, I'll just walk on out. But the bottom line is you would be ready to, no, you would be hurt, but you'd be ready to hurt somebody. The suffering point is she might be doing it because she's not getting what she needs. She has to start again. So we have created a mind system amongst ourselves. We have put aside the animalistic nature that we all have to discipline ourselves because it will keep us from hurting ourselves and hurting others. But it's not a wise one because you just don't know. So every woman don't know if down the road there's a better lady. So we say, I take a vow not to care, to settle for the man I'm with. You know what I'm saying? And that's it. But I'm here to tell you, as you get older, that's not going to happen. And as you get older, you're going to lose that loyalty. You may not think you are. As you get older, you're going to because the desire for adventure is going to click in regardless of how you feel about the person who sits next to you or have been sitting next to you for 10 or 15 or 20 years. A wise woman and a wise man, right, will make preparations for that in their relationship now. A fool sits back and waits for the end. I'm saying, in a show of hands, how many fathers... How many people here, fathers left their mother? How many people here, did their father and mother, the same father and mother from birth? All right, which are the most? Did y'all notice? Did you notice that 75% of people here, parents, the father left? And another 25%, the father stayed? How many people would say that their father who stayed is a very docile, nice person? How many people would say their father who stayed is grumpy, fussy, damn near violent, and hardly get along? How many would say their father who stayed, he stayed sedated most of the time? Because he's either drinking himself to death or something because he can't face reality. So when you get back down to it, of the 25% that said the father saved, we can take off another 15% because though he is there in body, he is not really there. So it says something about the human species that when we get to a certain age, men walk out. Or women throw them out. But anywhere it goes, on a scale of 100, 85 to 95% of us separate at a certain age. You follow? We are seeking and fulfillment of gaps, things that we feel we may have missed. If you don't prepare for that now, you can have a sharp-talking, fast-mouthed boyfriend now that keeps you fresh. me tell you what prep is. I teach this to my daughter, so you know. So all you women, pay attention to prep. So you're looking at a shrewd man, right? And all you guys get mad at me, you know it, and I know we ain't prep. Understand? It's called prepping. Anytime a man has to keep whispering something to you in the movie, he's trying to keep you prepped. He's afraid that you might see something and see problems. And so he got to say, well, that's the red dot. Oh, well, that's the sun. He's literally belittling your intelligence by keeping you prepped. He has to always interpret for you as if you don't have the ability to interpret things yourself. We men do that. It's a way of keeping you under our wing, not letting you make decisions for yourself. But well, after this class, on the way to the car, your husband will be like, oh, this is what Papa's really trying to say. he got to take even after taking away from a 52-year-old man, that's how insecure he is. And that's what he thinks of you. He's so confident that you're not stable, that you're not secure, that he has to keep putting some super glue on the relationship. When it's obvious that you're already there with him. I'm trying not to stare, because when you stare, you may think he's talking directly to me, and then she on the way down, he was talking to me about something. And I'm not. I'm just talking about life in general. But I'm saying it doesn't apply. But, you know, as Bob Marley said, if the hat fits, then let you wear it. You ain't supposed to be prepping the woman. You're supposed to have her own mind. And any woman, when you're supposed to say, understand, mama. You explain the whole goddamn movie again. Anybody you meet, he has to give you an interpretation about the person. You know what I'm saying? You know, let me find out where he is. You know what I mean? This is called prepping. A lot of you young girls are being prepped today and don't even know. All women got tired of prepping because they're just a crap. Because why are you prepping me? You're looking at somebody over there, nigga. And she learned to accept that reality at a certain age. Whether that's compromising, copping out, whatever you want to call it, just to sustain her relationship as a mature woman, she may have to compromise on the animal side and the low likeness of a man. You know what I'm saying? It's not a dumb thing to do. It's a smart thing to do if that relationship means that much to you, I'm just saying. If it doesn't, then don't bother. You understand? Did I go a little too far into this video? Y'all got this real constipated look on y'all. You understand? I'm like, I didn't even insult nobody. I'm just saying, talk to me as an old man. I'll talk to you as a father. You talk to me as a teacher. I'll talk to you as a teacher. You talk to me as a friend. I'll talk to you as a friend. Amen. And then I look at life just like that. If you trust your man, you are a fool. If he tells you he ain't looking at another woman and you believe that, you are a fool. No man is not looking at no other woman. Right, Al?
Right.
Tell us to him, brother. Tell us to him. I mean, I'm honest, I'll tell her too. My wife get mad, but I'll tell her too. Who's that? And I'm going to tell you something, sister. And if you got a man who's not looking at other women, he's looking at other men. And that's the word. So don't try to stop him from being the animal he is. You understand? Learn to let him know I see him. Everybody, you know the thing? If you look, he may knock your head off. That's the man. But that's the system you gotta live with. Because that's the society that the young girl back there, that's the doctrine that we have been indoctrinated with. That the man who looks straightened out between the restaurant and the movie. And the woman, she looks, there's no movie and no restaurant. We all went home. Go ahead, back in the back. What is the point of relationship based on what I said?
I mean, because what you're saying is, based on what you just said,
yes.
The fact that you just said what you said, what would be the point of relationship? I mean, as a sister, I'm saying,
I'm with you. I'm not arguing that. What does the word relationship mean? To relate to each other has nothing to do with commitment. We have created this system. And I'm not saying it's a bad system, especially for men.
I'm not talking about it at this point. We actually hated it, and it's simply, I've been saying that I related to someone and didn't even know it. You know what I'm saying? So, if you're asking, should human beings get together and take a vow to each other, I think some should, because some do. And I think there's another group of people that have passed that. And the way they relate to their mate is on a higher level than that. They don't have to keep saying, you know, you're my mate. They don't need to keep prepping their wife up. They don't need to keep, you know, they don't have to keep reiterating that I'm in control. I think they begin to reason better than relate. You follow what I'm saying? So I'm not saying y'all shouldn't be married and don't go out to school and everybody. That's what I'm saying. You're talking to me about a piece of reality. And my job is just to teach reality and facts. I'm teaching the reality. So that's why I said we don't get offended by the truth. I will teach the truth goes good because it's the truth. And then if you find fault with it, work with me with it. But I'm going to say with Bill, man, if any man tell you he's not cheating, he's a liar. If any woman tells you that she don't cheat and she don't cheat, not just now, women, let's have to run around and sue anybody in the neighborhood and men are. Because of the consequences, not because she won't do it. You understand? Because the consequences is great. Most men say, if I catch you, I'm breaking this knife off in your head. The best thing a woman do, curse you out, throw some after leave you go home to a mother, 3 to 6 months, you got it back. In that 3 to 6 months, you got a vacation from her anyway. So you just start all over. So it's a very, you know, it's a very male type of system set up. And that's how men are. They don't want you, they don't want nobody else to have you. Mary, huh? Yeah, a woman goes out of that ass. Yeah, I want to get it. Say another question. The inventor? Okay. Let me tell you what I'm doing. And what was once fresh is no longer going to be exciting. There can be intervals of sometimes months where you don't have sex. And you come back with a fresh relationship. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it has to be 6 months. I'm not saying it. I'm just saying if you are there available at all times, you are on a chain.
Good evening. We are coming to you from the Egyptian Church of Karas, Christ Incorporated. This program is for one group of people and one group only, the children of God. We no longer have to wonder or wander off the straight path. For those who want to make a difference, for those that want to know the truth to so many unanswered questions, and for those who are tired of the devil taking control over everything in their lives and the lives of their children. This program is set up for those who want to be in God's kingdom here on earth. According to the scripture, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, we must take back control of our lives. We, the Egyptian Church of Karas, Christ Incorporated, are reaching out to embrace all the children of God, as it states in Psalm chapter 82, verse 6. I have said ye are God, and all of you are children of the Most High. Next, you will be listening to our pastor, Reverend Dr. Malachi Z. York L., in question and answer form.